I don't have the.
Nice. How was your weekend? Thanks for
good.
Coming.
Oh.
Who's that lady?
I grow from.
Okay, when I walk out, you guys just say, "Oh, right? Why are you leaving?" I'm like, "I got here at 5:30. Can't hang out. I'm not retired.
I came here from Tarzana.
It's amazing how every auditorium.
I feel silly reading it when nobody's here.
Exactly the same.
I'll listen.
Hi, Commissioner. How are you?
And then I'll critique.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
But, somebody listening. Does anybody ever listen to these meetings?
Well, they can't. They can listen to them online.
Glenn Bailey.
Huh?
Glenn Bailey. Glenn Bailey listens to them. Hello. Cool. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
You know what's a shame?
How long have you been principal?
At this school or ever? It's the same answer. Just this year, since July.
Oh. Wowzers.
Brand new.
It's wow. Awesome.
It's a beautiful school.
It is, and it's just going to get better. We have a lot of, obviously, you can see there's construction going on. Suburban, you can't because it's a little dark, but yeah. Yeah, a lot of changes.
We were just talking, because last time we had a meeting here, you could come in a different way, and I got lost. The meeting started, and I was still walking around the school trying to find the auditorium.
Yeah.
But now it's easy. Well, it probably was easy then. I just didn't know what I was doing.
I get lost every day.
I parked on the wrong side.
Why can't we start? Seriously?
Okay, so we're going to start the meeting.
Let's do it.
Because
we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, because there's plenty of us here.
Excuse me for eating, folks.
I'm sorry, just keep on. So since we are being recorded, I have to read this big old long statement. Huh?
They're in the back. I'll get it for you.
Is everything on? Okay, thank you. So, good evening. We're being recorded, so I'm going to read these instructions for today's meeting, which is a special meeting for Monday, November 5th. 2018 here at Hooper Avenue Elementary School. For those who are listening at home, if you wish to become more involved with the neighborhood council system and are not on our mailing list, you may sign up on your phone by texting commission to 555-888. During the meeting tonight, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda. I don't know why.
Oh.
Yes. Items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item out of order. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. If we get any members from the public tonight who wish to speak on multiple agenda items, they shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in 1 minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period for 5 minutes on multiple agenda items that are on tonight's agenda. If you have a general comment on any item that is not listed on the agenda, you may provide your comment during the public comments portion of the meeting. Public comments should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Understand that there are applicable laws that limit the actions that we may take during tonight's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you have expressed. However, your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had a chance to list the item on the agenda. If we have public members that come in tonight, and should they wish to comment at this meeting, they are to fill out an electronic speaker request on a speaker card kiosk for each agenda item you wish to address so that you may be heard. You will be called when it is your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the agenda item you wish to speak about on the speaker request form. Speaker requests may be filled out using the speaker card located on the table or by texting commission to 555-888 or via our website at empowerla.org/commission/policies-and-meetings. If you intend to speak on any item, you must submit your electronic speaker request prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, please take the discussion outside. That means we act with civility and decorum. Last but not least, if any of you have a cell phone or if anybody comes in with a cell phone, they need the ringers need to be switched to vibrate or to silent. Okay. All right. On to the agenda, and I will formally call the meeting to order, and we'll take a roll call.
Okay, Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Littman?
Here.
Commissioner Schaefer?
Here.
Commissioner Derekitos?
Here.
Commissioner Wiebe? Absent. Commissioner Regalado?
Here.
Commissioner Avakian Karogian, absent. We have quorum.
All right, thank you very much. Item number four is a multiple agenda item since we don't have many in the public. And do you want to speak? Are there any multiple agenda items that you would like to speak about at length? Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped item number three. Oops. I'm sorry. Approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of September 4th, 2018. I'm so sorry. Which is the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners' regular meeting minutes from September 4th, 2018. Does anybody have any additions, amendments, corrections to these minutes?
Looks good.
Commissioner Schaefer, I would move approval.
It's been moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by Commissioner Littman to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Okay, now multiple agenda items, and that's where I gave the instructions if anyone wanted to speak on several items. And so since we only have two members from Central Alameda, I guess you're waiting for your great award rather than you have any issues to speak to tonight? We'll do it when we give out the award. Okay. All right. Which is, like right now, commemoration of the...
Commissioner Wiebe has arrived.
Okay, and I needed to announce that Commissioner Debbie Wiebe has arrived.
6:15.
Good evening.
Thank you. Good evening.
And it is, what time is it? She arrived at 6:17. Thank you. Okay, so tonight we have the 15-year anniversary of the certification of the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council. And we have, you want to speak first, Mike?
Sure.
Okay. So our first to hear from Dunn, and this is Mike Fong.
Good evening, commissioners. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Thank you so much, commissioners, for everything you do for the city's neighborhood council system and for the board. I also want to thank Principal Lindsay for hosting us here today at Hooper Avenue Elementary School. And on behalf of General Manager Gracie Liu, who is at the Ignite graduation. Ignite is a youth leadership development group for young girls and women who are stepping up in leadership positions. The graduation is tonight at City Hall, so otherwise she would have been here today. Uh-huh. And she would like to extend her best wishes to the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council for 15 years of outstanding leadership and efforts in the community. We have Mr. Everett Banks here today, Ms. Taylor here today. They're going to stay and speak a few words. And thank you guys so much for all your leadership here in the city. And we're very much honored to be here in South Los Angeles. And Commissioner Atkinson's area. And
I guess I'll speak here, and then we'll get up and take
Absolutely.
I also wanted to, this is my area, so I also wanted to congratulate Central Alameda for staying in existence for 15 years. That's pretty good. And when I came on the commission a few years ago and came to Central Alameda, these were the two people that I saw. Things have changed, but sometimes there's just consistency. And I am happy about that. And I appreciate I appreciate any neighborhood council that can be in existence for 15 years, to tell you the truth. I think it's not easy work. And to care about your community enough to just want to, you know, stay the course and try to improve what's going on in your community, I think is something that should be commended, which is what we're doing tonight. So I just wanted to congratulate you and hope that we have another really good 15 years and that we grow and expand. We got to figure that out. We have to figure how to grow and expand with all neighborhood councils. And I think that should be something that we gather together and talk about, and especially in South LA, in our alliance of neighborhood councils that we have in South LA. I want us to do better about even bringing the neighborhood councils together under the alliance so that we can work together on some mutual projects that bring to light what neighborhood councils can do. So I do congratulate you, and I think we can come up there and take a picture and
absolutely
get your pins. And how many people on your board? For how many? Okay, so I mean, we have, because everybody on the board gets a 15-year bag of pins. So.
And thank you to Lillian for putting this all together. We'd like to, at this time, we'd like to hear from our great representatives of the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council, and then we'll do a group photo. So we can have Mr. Everett Banks, if you can come on up, our Vice President of the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council, and then we'll be followed by Leitha Taylor, Senior Citizen Representative for the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council. Congratulations.
Good evening, Board of Commissioners for the Neighborhood Council of the City of Los Angeles. It's great to be here. It's an honor to have you in the neighborhood. This is my home. This is where I began, 1955 to 62, Carver Junior High, Jefferson High School. We just had our 50th anniversary, and they're going to be doing a remodeling, $32 million. And the first playground director, if I remember correctly, sliding down the slide and running a race over there in which I thought I lost, and I thought I wasn't meeting my standards or something, but I got a blue ribbon. And that playground director, I never figured him. His name was Mr. Lacefield. And I remember he said, there's nothing greater than helping a child along the way. And as I went on, and when I worked with Recreation Parks, taking youth down to clean up Griffith Park and everything, there he was, you know. So with much further ado, are we going to keep working on, and hopefully our biggest dream in this neighborhood would be to get a senior citizen center, an at-risk youth center, a swimming pool, and two large soccer fields there, putting them in soccer fields over at James Slauson Recreation Center, which when back in the 1950s was called the Old Log Cabin. And we had fun there over in the rec center. This was the place. We had a confederation of three parks. I mean, we had fun. We went on trips. We had everything, and we had fun. I just wish we could return to those days and have that fun, but I'm going to be blunt with you. This cannabis is going to jack these neighborhoods up. I hate to say that. It's going to jack them up. You haven't seen anything yet. I hate to speak like this, but no. No. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank Thank you so much, Mr. Banks. Ms. Taylor, come on up, and thank you so much, Ms. Taylor, for your great leadership and efforts with the Central
don't
Alameda
go too far. We're going to take a picture,
Neighborhood Council,
Mr.
and for all you do for the senior citizens.
Take a picture, so don't
come
go
on
too
up.
Far.
Good evening. My name is Letha Taylor. I am the senior rep of the Neighborhood Council. I stand here thanking you guys for inviting us here. We're doing the best. I stand behind what Mr. Banks said. We're trying to do the best we can for the neighborhood. I personally go from house to house to see what needs to be done to help the seniors and their families. It's great. I'm not a big speaker, you know, but I like to work and help wherever I can and whenever I can. We're trying to expand different opportunities and programs to help the area. I know I've missed a lot. I'm kind of shy in speaking. But we're doing the best that we can. Whenever we need any information, we do call downtown. Sometimes I call Mr. Banks to see what he can assist me with verbally. We're working on the alleys to see. The councilman's office is really doing great in terms of if you call them in time, the alleys are dirty, they will clean them up. And he's doing a great job. So.
Good job. Is that a park project? A block up the street? There's a park that's being remodeled, like the whole entire park.
That's South Park. South Park. And that was originally designed by Paul Williams. It's like a WWE project, Paul Williams, and a whole lot of buildings around here. But that's going to be a beacon over there.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yes, it is. And hopefully, we'll have this over here. We'll get everything done that we need to have in this community. Hopefully.
Okay.
It takes
time. I used to work at Carver Middle School.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
It's in the special ed department.
Special ed? That's what I teach, taught, special ed.
Okay, so I thank you.
Thank you so much, and congratulations again to the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council for all your leadership and efforts in the community. I want to read one of the whereases. Whereas the Central Alameda Neighborhood Council has duly pursued the mission of the Neighborhood Council system in order to effectively connect our community to City Hall. Thank you so much for all your great leadership, and I'll give the plaque to Commissioner Atkinson to present to you guys, and we'll take a group photo.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
We're going to gather around, and we're going to take a picture. Right. And these are the pens for your board.
Okay. Congratulations.
And this is the certificate, the 15-year certificate, okay?
So what we'll do, we'll put that up at James Slauson, maybe. James Slauson.
Oh, okay.
Old log cabin. That's the
Oh, yeah. That would be, that's historic. That'd
Let's
be
get
good.
Our principal in here, too.
Oops.
Get in.
Yeah.
Make it?
Do you know the principal of?
I just met her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hi, Maggie.
You need to be sure to keep in touch with the neighborhood council because they can help with things that you might need at the school and push for things, you know.
Somebody's here. Somebody's here.
One more lost person.
Come on.
This is our lawyer. Our lawyer.
Hey, Carmen.
Okay.
Come on.
Oh,
yeah.
What's that?
How you doing?
Okay.
Toby said you always trust someone.
Oh, said thank
you. All right, y'all ready? All right, here we go. On three, say cheese. One, two, three, cheese. Okay, one more. One, two, three.
Cheese.
Looks
we
good.
We finally put you to good use.
I know, right?
All right.
This whole time I was useless.
Just in time.
Yeah. Okay, I counted it out, and I should have enough so everybody gets it.
What's up, Ray?
Oh, you got string cheese, too?
Yes,
wow.
String cheese and pretzels.
Oh, you're the best.
And,
elementary school principal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretzels or
just pretzels is perfect. I mean, thank you. You're the best. Wow.
Well, leave it to Maggie. She's like, who's bringing snacks tonight?
There it is.
This is what we have. Goldfish. Oh, goldfish. Good.
What?
Oh, and cheese. Good.
Okay.
Okay.
before I interrupt the meeting, any more string cheese?
No, but what's yes. You got candy?
No. Oh, they don't want to say anything. I'm
no
like,
candy. Which are the veterans?
Very
okay.
Good.
Thank you for the offer.
Kindergarten is making cards for the veterans.
Okay.
I get the feeling
okay.
He's not
happy.
Tomorrow.
Not bad.
Oh, I forgot I was going to make an announcement.
Uh-oh.
All right, we're... After we finish sharing snacks...
Then we'll go that way. I've had more than my share.
What?
Those are too good.
Eli Libman's
iPhone. I think we're good.
I just had my grandkids down visit.
Oh, wow.
My grandkids down visiting. They brought their parents, too.
I had the best password.
Okay, we're going to get back to order. I wanted to mention something that I meant to mention when I opened the meeting. I'm glad that we're all here tonight. This is a really good turnout of our commission, and I wanted to mention that it really is important in some of these issues that come up that we try to maintain a quorum. It's going to be more important for a while because our commissioner from the North Valley, you're South Valley, right?
I'm South Valley.
She okay, North Valley has tendered her resignation from the commission due to family issues and work issues, and good for her, the increased success of her business. So she won't be able to make all of these meetings that we've been having. So I just want us to keep in mind how important it is that we try to maintain a quorum. The mayor's office is now working on a replacement, but it usually takes a while. So we're going to be dealing with six of us for a while. Okay. So I just wanted to make note of that.
Thank you.
So we know. Okay. All right. We now are on. We have item number six. We sort of already discussed where Central Alameda spoke about what they're trying to do in the community, and there's no other South LA neighborhood councils here, so we can go pass over number six. Number seven is general public comments from the public on non-agenda items. Was there anything you wanted to bring up, or you're here to discuss the other stuff, or you're just here? Because you love us so much, okay. So next on, we're moving right along here. So next is the general manager's report, and that's from Mike Fong.
Thank you, Madam President, Commissioner Atkinson, and good afternoon, commissioners. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you so much for everything you do for the neighborhood council system and for accommodating this meeting to her today in South LA. On behalf of General Manager Gracie Liu and the department, as mentioned, Gracie is at the Project Ignite graduation at City Hall, where the future leaders and young women and girls who are in our leadership development program, the graduation is tonight at City Hall. So that is something we want to thank the commission for their support and leadership on. Secondly, we had a very robust week last week. We had a homelessness liaison meeting where there was a presentation from the mayor's office on a bridge home. There was also presentations on virtual reality presentation where by putting on these VR goggles, it really empathizes and provides experience of somebody who may be homeless. Thirdly, we also had a homelessness. We're also going to have an aging liaison meeting on Thursday, November 29th, and that's in collaboration with the Department of Aging. And we also had a resiliency meeting last week as well. And wanted to thank everyone for all their leadership and efforts here on the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. Thank you.
Any questions?
Nope. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we come to, we're moving right along, which I know is making Miss Derek Heroes happy. Number nine, agenda item number nine is discussion and possible action on providing recommendations for council file 18-0467, Neighborhood Council System Reform. I'm going to let Commissioner Lippman handle this because we do have in writing some suggestions that we want to send to the committee, to Councilman Rue's committee, regarding the Neighborhood Council System Reform.
All right, folks. This is, I think, probably the, I think this is at least the third time that this has been on the agenda. The last time we started reviewing them and making some changes based on sort of consensus of the folks who were at the meeting. So the idea with this, with support of the city attorney, was to draft a letter that we would send to the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, or the department would draft a letter, send a letter to Councilman Rue, chair of the Health, Education, Neighborhood Council Committee, as well as all members of the Los Angeles City Council and the mayor, to include the commission's position on the proposed reforms. As you know, this has been out there for, I think, over 100 days at this point, and it's received over 25 community impact statements, as well as hundreds of actual comments from at our various meetings. I think we counted them all up at some point. So we'll probably want to add that into this letter. But we've had at least about a half a dozen meetings on with this on the agenda where we've taken public comment ourselves. So the idea was that we would, as a commission, vote on our position regarding each of the reforms and take it that way. And if we don't have, you know, consensus on it, then we can either file that as the vote, or we can go back to the, or just leave it off of the letter. But the goal being that we try to get something to City Council sooner rather than later, because I know they plan to act on it pretty soon. So I guess I'll just go start with Reform A. Let's do it. Rebranding the department. So the position that we're proposing is that the commission agrees that Dunn, Bonk, and Empower LA are confusing to the public and even to neighborhood council leadership. Commission recognizes that Empower LA was created as a brand for the NC system without the need to amend the charter or administrative code. However, the commission does not support a charter change, but would support efforts proper English would be good, branding changes such as the logo, social media accounts, websites, and other marketing collateral, as long as these changes are phased in over time so as not to incur a major expense that could detract from other budget priorities.
Yeah, so just as for a form of explanation under this particular issue, we noticed that the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment is in the charter. The name is in the charter. And so anything that is in the charter we felt would be expensive to change, and it was not necessary, and that the only thing that we might want to discuss are branding issues that can be discussed from in the department. So that's why we think that we should suggest that done, stay the way it is, that anything that has to do with a charter change, we should, in order to save money, in other words, is to keep those items intact and maybe just discuss ways of improving the branding.
And, you know, the original reform motion was to actually amend the city charter to change the name to Neighborhood Council's Department and Neighborhood Council's Commission instead of Bonk and Dunn, and phase out the use of the term branding and power lay. But we sort of looked at other, you know, for example, you know, everybody recognizes the zoo is just the LA Zoo, but in the charter it's the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens. And so it's the Los Angeles Police Department Commission, but they just call themselves the Police Commission. So, you know, the thought was, well, there's no need to change the charter, but there's an opportunity to use a more colloquial or better understood terminology that can be used to change the social media account and the website and those type of things that are commonly used in marketing work without actually needing to make a full-on change to the charter.
Just for procedure purposes, should we agree on a form of consensus on each one of these one at a time? Was that your...
Ah, right.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's the Board of Police Commissioners, but everybody just knows it as the Police Commission, right? Just like we're the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. We can just... Their Twitter account is Police Commission. We can just be... If we get a Twitter account.
Commission.
The commission.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways.
Anyway, back to procedure. Should we, on each item, vote on the consensus if we agree to what is brought before us? All right?
We had agreed to that earlier. I think that
okay.
would be...
Okay. Okay. We didn't vote on this earlier, did we?
No.
No, we
just sort of... Did anybody make a motion?
That would be a good thing to do.
So that's what I'm saying. So, in essence, you can make a motion. I was getting ready to say that it kind of comes in a form of a motion that we can vote vote on each item, but we can make it a formal motion. So I'm assuming I would accept a motion that we accept at least on Reform A, the rebranding department, that we accept the wording that has been submitted as a suggestion to the City Council. Are you moving that?
Oh, yes, I will move that.
So it's been moved to accept the wording of Reform A, which has to do with the rebranding of the department. Is there a second?
Commissioner Littman, I move that.
Maggie Derrick-Kiros will second.
All right, so it's been moved by Commissioner Littman and seconded by by Derrick-Kiros. I'm going to get this straight.
Derrick-Kiros.
I'm going to get it straight. And seconded it. So all in favor of Reform A, aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay. You have all a frown on your face. You have a question?
I'm confused as to what are you asking? I heard multiple things. I heard one.
We just changed the whole entire
about bringing
name.
Everything down on an individual basis.
Yeah, which is Section A.
What we're going to do is go one by each
we're
reform.
We're going one by one, A,
and
B,
then at
C.
The end we can say, you know, we're going to, you know, I move that we write a letter to Council.
So A just has to be that we're leaving everything the same except that we want to suggest that they do consider rebranding.
We're changing our name.
All right. Any other question, Carmen?
Okay. All right. Reform number B, we said the commission can consider this issue separately, so that's the next agenda item. So I'll move to reform C, removal of selection. So the original reform motion was...
In other words, we're coming back to B later. Yeah. Is that what you're doing? Okay. All right.
Reform C would be to amend the city charter to remove any reference to selections and clarify that neighbor council board members will be elected. So after doing some research, it became clear that there's certain neighbor councils that use anything that is outside of the clerk-run elections, such as an off-year election that would allow certain boards to stagger their elections is called a selection. So are, like, the subdivision elections were actually selections. So the one that just happened in North Westwood was a selection because it wasn't run by the city clerk, it was run by the department. So to sort of formally remove that would cause some challenges. So we sort of went more in the direction of recommending the department come up with formal guidelines for the selection process that are clear and ensure transparency, because there really isn't a formal selection process that the department has, and there are models of them that have been used, but that was the idea, so that there was So there wasn't the opportunity for abuse of this process by a neighborhood council, that it would have to follow these guidelines that are clearly directed on the website, and that any stakeholder could review them on the EmpowerLay website or the neighborhood council's website.
And this comes from many of the public hearings that we had, where some of our long-time neighborhood councils, who is not that many, but that do selection process, that they really, really wanted to keep it. And when they explained what their selection process was, it was very similar to an election. It was just done in a little bit of a different way. And so we decided a good compromise is, if you're going to have a selection, it should be a clear procedure on how they conduct the selection. And I think it only is going to affect a few neighborhood councils, I believe.
Okay.
Commissioner Wiebe?
Yes, just for a point of clarification for those neighborhood councils that testified at our hearings, that actually hold selection and have a written procedure that they follow, the earlier conception that Council Member Rue's office came under and was clarified within the information that was originally.
So you think, well, it needs to say something? Are you looking for more than come
no,
up
no,
with?
No. I just want to make a clarification for anyone who may be listening to this,
that
we were completely aware that there are neighborhood councils that exist that do selection and have a written procedure, which they were very willing to share us and with Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, and that it was certainly the misunderstanding of other entities that selection meant that there was no process. And as has been elaborated by yourself and Council Member Lippman, it was that it was revealed to us that in fact some of those neighborhood councils that do selection have a very detailed process. And that what we're looking for is to take away that misunderstanding, that misperception that others may have, that selection means that there is no process. So that by establishing a process that everyone is aware of, that misconception is removed.
And it creates, I think it helps with continuity of these boards, because like with Chatsworth, or with Historic Cultural North that we just approved last week, they had four-year terms, which I feel sorry for those poor volunteers serving four-year terms. But they did that because they wanted to stagger their election, so half of the board is up every 2 years. But what Chatsworth has done is that they have their election every 2 years and half the board's up, and their selection every other year and half the board's up. Nothing but selections? Oh, okay. So they have nothing but selections, but only half the board is up every selection, every year. Right. So it allows them to have some continuity of the board. Right. Okay.
Right.
Which, for me, I think is a good thing for a neighborhood council.
Okay. So
there's a motion.
So yeah, we need to have a motion to
accept. I move that we
accept the wording of removal.
Accept the wording of this recommendation.
All right, so second?
I'll second that.
All right, so it's been moved by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by, which way did that go? Commissioner Wiebe?
You know, somebody.
Okay. Commissioner Wiebe, that we accept the wording regarding a removal selection and setting up formal guidelines for the selection process that are clear and ensure transparency. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed.
All right.
Reform D, board seat equity.
Right, so this would adjust neighborhood council bylaws to ensure equitable distribution of board seats. So the recommendation here is that we agree that all neighborhood councils should attempt to have equitable board seat allocation. The commission also believes that there is an existing process whereby neighborhood councils review their own bylaws, address issues of seat equity, and bring bylaws changes to the department and the commission for review and approval, disapproval. Therefore, this reform is not necessary. However, the process could be strengthened with more data on number of businesses, residents, property owners, students, community organizations, etc. Commission encourages the department to coordinate with the 2020 census and the city controller's office to identify opportunities to provide NC-level data from the census, city business tax data, and other available data. So I think the issue here was, you know, neighborhoods are changing, right? Businesses are coming and going, residents are coming and going, and things change. We see this all the time. I mean, this is kind of what we did with also with Historic Cultural North was there was a concern about equity on the board and whether one community would have more would have a potential majority on the board, and so we, as the commission, made the decision to add two more board seats to their board, at large board seats. And so, you know, the sense or the recommendation here is like, look, like that's what our commission is here to do. That's what the department is meant to do. Let's just strengthen this process, not enforce some sort of very sort of stringent process by which all boards have to reassess all of their board seats. That was the sense of this motion. So I guess I'll move forward this recommendation.
We're making a motion?
Yeah, I just did.
I will. Maggie Derrick-Kiros will second that motion.
All right, so it's been moved by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Darius Kiros, Kiels to...
Kiros.
So I did write on the first part, Darius Kiros.
Kiros.
Okay. I want to say Maggie. provide this wording to the City Council regarding board seat equity. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Can I ask a
question? All right.
I have a kind of a...
This is sort of redundant, but okay.
We shouldn't have voted first.
We have something to...
The last issue, we didn't have discussion. This one, it doesn't seem that we're having discussion. We're moving right to the vote right after the explanation.
Oh, we should have discussion.
And we should have had some discussion because I'm not clear exactly how these... There's a standard as to which the committee has addressed these items. And each item, we're either going to support it or not support it, and we have recommended changes. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily hearing that that's the case. What I'm hearing is that, and I'll go to this one, I'm not hearing that. I heard you say that we're not supporting it, and we want this. And it seems to me that that should be part of the explanation, that we are not supporting, we would like to recommend the following as written by the commission. And that was definitely the removal of selections. I that's where it kind of struck me, that I didn't hear that we're not supporting it. I didn't hear that we were supporting it. I'm hearing that there should be these things. So
you know,
I'm not
that's
clear.
Commissioner Atkinson, that's interesting because I wasn't looking at the issue on whether we are supporting or not supporting. I was looking at the issue of how we could give suggestions on it, improving or on how to address the issue, because that's what Councilman Rue asked, was to give our opinion on these items. So it wasn't a matter of him saying, well, we want to do this, and so is it yes or no? It's a matter of this is the discussion that's come up. What are your suggestions? I mean, that's the impression I got, but I didn't think that we were supposed to say, I didn't think that it was a matter of saying, no, we're not accepting this, because I don't think he was putting it forth as something to accept or not accept, because he's been waiting for input from everybody. And so I got the impression that when we had Commissioner Lippman do this, that it was to either improve or give our ideas, but not necessarily say, well, we don't, you know. So what we're saying, even on the board seat equity, it's kind of redundant, but we're just saying that the process should be strengthened and more clear data given to given to neighborhood councils when they're setting their board, but it doesn't mean that we're against anything that Councilman Rue has said, because he hasn't said anything for us to be against.
Well, they're putting a position forward. He has a position that he's putting forward, and it's written in what he was asking. Now, people are suggesting various things. They came to us, and we're suggesting what and reflecting what they're telling us, or we are coming up with our own suggested.
So should we word it? So in other words, should we word it that we are on each of these items that we're not accepting?
I mean, if we're going to change it, if we're suggesting that we change, I think that should be the lead item. You know, that should be the lead sentence, so that there's clear understanding for not only the committee and our commission, but for everyone out there, so that they clearly understand exactly what it is that we're requesting or asking.
Okay. I don't see any problem.
I'm not sure that I'm feeling that over the last couple that I've just heard. I'm hearing that there are suggested recommendations, but if you look at going back to removal of selections,
right.
We voted, and it's going to reflect past. So are we reflecting that let's remove the selection process but just tweak the language, or this is what we're recommending? We would like to see this implemented instead of that. And that's what I'm thinking I'm kind of missing in this.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. So it's just a matter of how we reword it, really. I mean, we can come up with the same suggestions. It's just that you're saying that we should be clear on that we're either making a suggestion or we're changing or what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it would be more transparent that way to anyone who's reading our recommendations.
Okay. Do you want to go back over the top ones, or do we want to start and make it clear on Reform D, which is talking about board seat equity?
May I just?
Sure, Commissioner Wiebe.
Yes, I mean, on this same point, I understand that for brevity and in general communication, what we have in our agenda, for me, summarizes Councilmember Roos' actual neighborhood council system reforms. But if we're responding directly to the reforms, and you know, fortunately, we have our city attorney here, so if I'm off base, I'll be corrected here. But, you know, what Ray is referring to specifically is, you know, the item directly says recommendations and next steps for amending city charter, and then it goes on to give the number to remove any reference of selection, blah, 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 blah. So if that's what it's going to refer back to, perhaps we do need to be more specific. I mean, I understand the point, and I'm understanding why this is being brought up, and it's making sense.
Oh, yeah.
In the essence of time, like, let's clarify this. Let's make this clear and move it forward. I mean, if we're saying, you know, the commission, you know, for removal of selection, we're saying, you know, the commission does not support removing the selection process, but recommends that the department comes up with formal guidelines for the selection process that are clear and ensure transparency.
That makes it clear.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that. I'll accept that. I'll accept that as a friendly and yeah.
That's fine.
Friendly amendment.
Or I'll accept that if there's. Is there any objection to that?
No. Do we have a little friendly amendment, I would call it, I guess.
Yeah, well,
on the selection process, we put our ideas in for selection, but we want to say that we oppose the idea of dismantling the selection process, and that we have and that we amend it to include better guidelines or more guidelines from the department,
yep.
and to allow selection process to go forward, which is a little clearer on what we're trying to do with that particular. So that's an amendment. Oh, Carmen, you have a question.
Vote? Yes, we did, but it sounds like like there's a motion from Ray to reconsider.
What?
Okay, so you're doing a motion to reconsider. You're putting
right.
forth as the maker of the previous motion, a motion to reconsider the earlier vote.
Yes, yes.
He brought it up.
I think. Well, what I'm asking for is more clarity as to the position of the recommendation.
All right.
Because and that's all I'm doing. I'm not saying to reconsider the. I'm understanding.
That's what
we have
to do formally.
No. Yeah. I understand that. But I think
she just wants to be sure that we word it correctly.
Yeah.
So we are reconsidering in that we're affixing more clarity.
Yeah.
To what we want. Mm-hmm. So that's all we're doing. But that's still an amendment, you know, it's still amending
okay.
it, what we did. So, okay. So so you accepted the new.
Right. I move that we reconsider the removal of selection and that the new motion be, or I move the new motion, which is the commission does not support the recommendations to remove the selection process, but recommends that the department come up with formal guidelines for the selection process that are clear and ensure transparency.
A second?
Second.
Hang on. Just a point of order.
Yes.
I believe that the motion for reconsideration, which is made by someone on the prevailing side,
yes.
has to be approved as any other motion prior to considering the actual reconsideration.
Oh, we didn't approve the.
Okay.
So we approve the motion.
Is there a second for my motion to reconsider?
So moved.
Okay.
I'll
so
second the motion to reconsider.
Is there
so
any?
The motion has been made by Mr. Lippman and seconded by Commissioner Schaefer and Wiebe
to reconsider
item number C on the removal of selections. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. All right, so now we're back to the new wording.
Okay.
On the removal of selection and the suggested wording
right. yeah.
is, repeat it, please.
That the commission does not support the recommendations to remove the selection process, but recommends that the department come up with formal guidelines for the selection process that are clear and ensure transparency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Commissioner Regalado to accept a new wording regarding a removal of selection. All in favor, say.
Any public comment?
Oh, public comment. Going once, going twice.
No public comment.
All right.
Discussion.
Appears to be no public comment. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. So that passed. So now we're back to the reform on board seating equity, keeping in mind that we want to do the same thing,
yes.
that we are clear on what we're trying to say. And the board seat equity, I'm not quite sure what the purpose of this is, because you have in here that the reform is really not necessary. However, the process could be strengthened with more data on number of businesses, residents, property owners, students, community organizations, et cetera. And the only question I have is, and I'm only going by what we did last week when we okayed the Chinatown North, in that we asked that question, and didn't the historic Chinatown North Neighborhood Council talk about their outreach and sent in the information that they got from the census and other areas? Are we saying, I mean, they already are doing that, aren't they? Or maybe not all neighborhood councils do it. So
the purpose of this was to create a formal process by which all 99 neighborhood councils would have to relook at their bylaws from a perspective of board seat equity.
Okay.
Which...
So what we're saying on this particular reform is that we do accept board seat equity, except that we are suggesting more clarity on where they get their information from with regards to census and business, number of businesses, number of residences, et cetera.
Commissioner Wavy, I'm sorry. The thing that stood out for me the most about that particular recommendation was that the process and the oversight of that process be conducted by the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners.
Right. This would be the recommendation was for a one-time review process by the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners to determine if the seats are equitably allocated among stakeholder types and provide formal suggestions to neighborhood councils on ways to adjust their board seats as needed to increase equity.
Understood. So while I have the thought and I understand that you know, we're going to have to go through the due process of asking to... If it's anyway, we're going to have to do a couple of steps here, but I think that it would be in our best interest to point out that asking the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners to take this on is not something that we see as the appropriate step. That it's not in keeping with what Board of Neighborhood Commissioners do on a routine basis, and you've already pointed out that it's done in other areas, but as it's right. stated here, that Bonk has been being asked to do it.
I guess my one concern, and this is up for discussion, is that, you know, the bylaws that come to us are sort of voluntarily coming to us. Like a neighborhood council says, well, we want to change our bylaws. This would sort of force every neighborhood council to relook at their bylaws.
It would force us to read them all.
Right.
It would force us to read them all, which...
And to make a determination.
And to make a determination, which in some cases may not be such a bad thing. It's a lot of work.
Is there a motion? Because it sounds like a discussion.
We're discussing it. Do we have a motion on this? To leave it as is, or any additions, or is the wording okay?
Well, I think if we'd want to make it clear, we would just say the commission does not support this recommendation. The commission agrees that all neighborhood councils should attempt to have equitable board seat allocation, et cetera, et cetera.
And we are on D, right?
On D? Yeah.
Correct. D.
Board seat equity. But what are we not agreeing to? Because we basically look like we are agreeing that there should be board seat equity and that it should be enhanced.
We're not agreeing to a one-time review process for all neighborhood council bylaws by the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners to determine if those board seats are equitably allocated among stakeholder types.
So I'm reading two different things here. A, on the recommendation from Rue's office, they're asking for a one-time review process overseen by the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. Mm-hmm. Overseen. I'm not sure that it actually says that we have to do it ourselves. What I'm reading Commissioner Lippman indicating here that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're recommending that each neighborhood council review their own bylaws.
That's what they're doing already, so why are we even going through this?
So if you want to somehow look at what Councilman Rue's suggesting and what you appear to be suggesting, I think it just needs to be clear that we could oversee that one-time review done by, and that's just reviewing the results of perhaps the neighborhood councils, because you're asking for them to do it.
he's asking for us to have an over, you know, like an oversight of some type.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the, you know, we're kind of not saying the same as I'm reading it.
Same thing that they're doing already.
Is that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, I guess the way that we would do this as a process, we would establish like an ad hoc committee that would kind of do a one-time review, look at a sample of neighborhood council bylaws or maybe all of them and say, this is what you could do to make your bylaws more equitable. But it's up to the neighborhood councils to essentially say you're right or you're wrong and come to us with changes to the bylaws.
Or recommend what they're looking at. And they can recommend that they are the same.
Yeah, that they're equitable.
That they're fine.
Yeah.
And then we just give it, you know, our
approval
or whatever. That's what it sounds like.
No, actually, Commissioner Schaefer, since we would, or be since according to Councilmember Rue, we would be tasked with making or providing formal suggestions to neighborhood councils on ways to adjust board seats as needed to increase equity, that it would become our job to determine, one, were the board seats not equitably distributed with a neighborhood council? And if so, how could they do a better job of it? Which would mean somehow we would have to review or have reviewed by someone who would report to us on all of those bylaws. I don't think we can, I don't think his intent would be that we just ask the neighborhood councils to take a look and give us an answer whether they think it's good or bad.
I think the suggestion is something actually in between of like we look at as we establish an ad hoc committee that looks at a sample or maybe all and say, okay, you should to have equitable seating, you should have, you know, this number of business seats or, you know, as in general, not specific to a neighborhood, but to adequately represent a neighborhood, you should have at least one at-large seat. You should have at least one renter's seat. You should have at least one youth seat. You should have at least one this seat. And sort of say this would provide greater equity. You know, we could consult some experts. There's some great research being done at USC on it. Oh. I mean, there could be kind of a whole.
Commissioner Maggie Derrick Carroll would like to make a motion.
Okay.
We'd like to make a motion to approve the as written, adjusting neighborhood council bylaws to ensure equitable distribution of board of seats.
We've already done that.
We're discussing it now.
Oh, we're discussing it. Okay. Well, I would like to second it.
Oh, it's been seconded. Commissioner Schaefer, I'd like you to look at one word. The word evaluate. Evaluate is an action verb. It means we're supposed to do something. And to evaluate means we're supposed to take notice of what there is and to make recommendations as to whether it's good, bad, indifferent, and if it's bad, how it can be improved.
Right.
That's what I see by the word evaluate. And that's why I say we can't just come up with a formula because each neighborhood council is different in its demographics and such as that. So once again, I would say that the intent is that for some reason we somehow evaluate the bylaws of 99 neighborhood councils, or at least those we haven't evaluated for this, and go after them that way. So I think that's where our sticking point is.
Right. Well, maybe then it's a time thing. Maybe instead we say we do a one-time review of neighborhood councils' bylaws that have not come before the commission in the past 5 years or 10 years to review their bylaws. You know, because we created new bylaws for two neighborhood councils in the past month or two, and we've had a dozen other neighborhood councils who have come before us where we've had the opportunity to evaluate them.
The Mr. Schaefer again. The problem is most of the bylaws that have come for amendment, we haven't evaluated 100% of them. And if we say during the last 10 years, that would be all neighborhood councils that have been certified in the last 10 years. And what most people were saying was, wasn't that done at the time of certification anyway?
Sure.
So that's what I heard from people.
Commissioner Wabe, and this is a more of a question to the commissioners. Based on our town halls, the consensus that I was hearing was that there wasn't support from the general population, and that they would prefer that their bylaws be specific to their neighborhood councils, and that, in short, we stay out of their business. So do we take that into consideration? Is that something that needs to be expressed in anything that we're doing here? And I leave that question to the other commissioners, and please use that as food for thought.
So where are we on agreeing to this wording?
My concern being that a neighborhood council that is inequitable will not want to change their bylaws. So whose responsibility is it to say that's not okay for your community? Your community has changed, or you're not representing your community anymore.
Commissioner Regalado, then that would require a body or an individual to define what equitable is in the context of neighborhood councils.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that would be so hard to do, because I think each neighborhood council develops kind of autonomously as to what best represents their community.
So it sounds like we're circling back to this language of the commission does not support this recommendation. However, the commission agrees that neighborhood councils should attempt to have equitable board seat allocation. The commission also believes that there's an existing process whereby neighborhood councils review their own bylaws, address issues of seat equity, and bring bylaw changes to the department and the commission for review and approval disapproval. Therefore, this reform is not necessary. However, and it goes on to say how the process could be strengthened with better better data.
That's right.
Because, you know, somebody, yeah, okay. Okay, so I move that. if there's a second.
I thought it was already seconded.
Oh, okay. Oh, and we were in discussion. Okay, so then let's vote on it.
What's the motion?
That we do not support this recommendation.
Say that again?
We do not support this recommendation.
That the commission agrees that all neighborhood councils should attempt to have equitable board seat allocation?
No, we don't support the motion that we should be part of an interim. We should do a study of all.
The commission does not support this recommendation for, I'll clarify that, for a one-time review process.
Oh, okay.
But that we do support
equitable distribution of equitable board seat allocation.
Yeah. Et cetera.
Okay,
so the motion is that that we agree that the neighborhood council should attempt to have equitable board seat allocation, but we do not support
a one-time review.
The one-time review of bylaws.
Yep.
All right. Okay. That simplified it.
Okay.
All right. So a motion was made by Mr. Lipman. Is there a second?
Well, if it wasn't, I'll second it.
All right. And a second by Commissioner Schaefer to simplify this wording, to attempt to have equitable board allocation, but to we do not agree to a one-time evaluation of neighborhood council bylaws. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. That motion passed. I mean, that reform Passed.
Right. Moving on, Reform E. These get easier, I promise.
Uniform voting age.
Uniform voting age. So so this one says, Bonk has supported neighborhood councils that have sought a uniform voting age of 16 and inclusions of individuals on the board under the age of 18, with a recognition that they are limited in the types of motions that they may or may not be eligible to vote on, specifically funding motions. The commission supports establishing a uniform voting age of 16 as long as it complies with the charter and recommends that the city council discuss and vote on this. So that's the motion. I think, you know, it. Well, is there a second? Is there a second?
I'll second your motion.
So there was sort of a recommendation that voting age could be uniform, but that neighborhood councils could determine whether or not they want to have a board seat because of the complications with that, and they can make that decision on their own, but sort of saying, you should do it, or you should be allowed to do it, and should do it. So kind of giving autonomy, but also saying, and making, frankly, the city clerk's job a little bit easier, of saying there's a uniform age across the system.
All right. Any discussion on this uniform voting age?
Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, can I provide a comment to
the... I'm sorry, Carmen.
Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, can I provide a comment that the board may want to consider in determining whether how to make this motion? Recognize that individuals under the age of 18... cannot enter into legally binding contracts, so therefore they would not be able to vote on any type of contractual matter for
the board. We have specifically funding motion, but we say funding and contract.
Are you just saying, I would maybe make it more general that anything that, you know, subject to what the law allows, and that was going to be, you know, local, state, federal law, because it could, I don't want to think of all of the, you know, all of the areas where they're voting on something may have an impact. So there needs to be some discretion. So just basically being able to vote where
the
law allows.
With the recognition that they are limited in the types of motions that they may or may not be eligible to vote on under
subject,
state and local
brackets. Brackets subject to what the law allows. Close brackets.
Subject to what the law allows.
Okay. So we have a motion on that?
Who seconded it? I seconded it.
Okay. So there's a motion on the uniform voting age that was made by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Commissioner Wiebe. Any more discussion? You okay on it?
No, he's gonna break it.
Okay, well, this isn't just voting age, this is voting and board member age, correct?
Yes.
Yes?
Say that again.
I said, as I read it, this is both voting and board member age. And would that be correct?
That's true, voting age and board member.
No, it's just voting age. At 16, and then a recognition that some neighborhood councils and this commission has supported the inclusion of individuals on the board under the age of 18, but not saying, you know, specifically that 16-year-olds can serve on the board.
Well, okay.
Unless you need that clarified.
I'm not
trying to suggest that we should create a board minimum age of 16. That should be determined by a neighborhood council.
Okay. Commissioner Schaefer, I don't know that we can based on certain charter language.
Well, that too.
But I think it should be made clear that what we're talking about is a voting age of 16 as opposed to, because you're saying here, supported that have sought a uniform voting age of 16 and inclusion of individuals on the board under the age of 18. So this motion does both, voting and board membership. Is that correct?
That was not my intention. So if we need to make that clearer.
Well, then all we'd have to do is strike the portion of the sentence after the number 16 all the way through the number 18. Well, then we don't need any of that other language. It would only be that we support uniform voting age of 16, if that's what you want to do.
A minute.
Period.
If you want to support voting age 16 without any reference to board membership, that's what you would do.
Well, I think the first sentence just says that we have supported that in the past, and the second sentence says that we support this recommendation.
There's only
reform,
one sentence. There's only one sentence. From the word bonk all the way through funding motions, close parentheses, period, is one sentence, not two.
No, but the second sentence is sort of the position we're taking. So if we want to just make it that and just say the commission supports establishing a uniform voting age of 16 as long as it complies with the charter and recommends that the city council discuss and vote on this, that could be our recommendation.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything in the charter that would negate that.
We can take that out too if that's not necessary.
No. I say I don't think there's anything in the charter that would negate
okay.
The age of 16 is voting.
Yeah.
It's just who gets to sit on the board itself.
Okay.
Although I don't know, maybe that has to do with choosing your board. I don't know.
So for the sake of making this kind of crystal clear, why don't we just say the commission supports this recommendation to establish a uniform voting age of 16 and recommends that the city council discuss and vote on it.
I'm for that.
Because I guess the reason why it was included is the recommendation from Councilman Rue includes a uniform minimum voting age and board member age.
Let me see. Hang on just a second.
Does this mean, Commissioner Atkinson, does this mean that those neighborhood councils, I don't know how many there are, that those neighborhood councils that have said that the voting age would be 18, they would have to change their bylaws?
Is
this a mandatory thing?
Correct. But I think I did an analysis and there was something like a majority of neighborhood councils already had the voting age at 16, but I'd have to check that analysis. But
I think most do 16, but there were a few that have come before us that talked about 18, and they were very adamant, so I was just wondering if they would have to.
If I might, Councilman Rue's actual recommendation is recommendation and next steps for adopting regulations to provide a uniform minimum voting age and board member age to allow consistent participation across the city and what age should be and what that age should be. So yes, his is going to both because it says the word and board member age.
Correct.
Right.
I'm just stating I'm not comfortable with that, but I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, and I was trying to say, there seemed to be consensus among us that we support a voting age of 16, but we were, in a sense, punting on the board member age and leaving that up to a neighborhood council.
Well, you came in the inclusion of individuals on the board under the age of 18, which means that our recommendation
Commissioner Maggie Derrick-Carroll have a question.
Go ahead.
Aren't there some neighborhood councils that do allow, they have 14-year-olds, and then I think in the Valley they have 14-year-olds, so they can't vote?
No. Well, they can vote on certain things, but not on others.
Is it because of their bylaws, or is it because of this bylaw?
Because of the legal requirement regarding adulthood to vote on certain things.
Okay. Especially financial.
You can't contract until you're an adult.
Yeah.
So is this the same thing? Is that going to do the same thing? Because every neighborhood council is different. Some neighborhood councils want kids. Some of them don't.
It's true. So that's the point. Do we want? That's the point. His question is.
So how do you tailor that to the ones that do and the ones that don't?
Yes.
Right. So this.
That's his question.
This.
You say we don't support this.
I mean, this
make a
would,
motion
yeah,
that we don't
this
support
would,
this.
Most of the neighborhood councils have a 16-year-old, but yeah, there's some that are 18 and there's some that are 14. So this would make them unhappy.
So I would like to make a motion that we don't support this one.
That would be a since a motion's already been made and seconded, and we were discussing it. If you make that, that would be a substitute motion, which you can
okay.
do, same as last time.
Okay.
So where are we? We can't come to an agreement on it?
Well, we have a motion on the floor.
And the motion is to, is this, right?
That's the motion, yeah.
The motion is to have a uniform voting age of 16 and inclusion of individuals on the board under the age of 18?
That's what it says. And taking the city attorney's verbiage rather than saying, may or may not be able to vote on, and then specifically funding matters, either strike that specifically funding motions or add language that indicates not eligible to vote on. I think it would be better just to strike that because it would be whatever they couldn't vote on decided as a legal matter. That would be the city attorney's recommendation.
Which is?
Don't specify funding because there might be other matters that they can't vote on either.
They are able to vote on. So it's, but it's funding and other, what was the wording?
I think if we, and the city attorney can tell me, but I think we just struck the thing to funding and said matters they can't vote on, may not be eligible to vote on, that would be something that could be decided at the time that.
What was the word? Was that the wording?
You said something about as provided by law or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
By law. I mean, it's like more general.
Okay, so.
We vote on as provided by law. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, so take out specific funding motions and put in not eligible to vote by law.
Yeah.
By law.
Okay.
All right. Do everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So the motion is to accept the wording of uniform voting age of 16 and inclusion of individuals under board age of 18, but precluding them from voting on any issues of, according to law, precluding them from voting on issues that are precluded from law, by law. Okay. All in favor?
Wait a minute.
Lynn has a.
Somebody wants public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't mind.
I forgot we had a public member.
Just reading the part about under inclusion of individuals on the board under the age of 18, so they can vote if they're at least 16, but there can be people that are 14 that can be on the board, correct? Right?
I lost someone.
So we can have 14-year-olds on the board?
I think we're saying.
I thought we could. I mean, some people do.
Some
I know some neighborhood councils do, but I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
But are we saying
in most of those at this point are like they're sort of advisory or appointed positions? It's from the ones that I've seen, but
I think they should all be able to vote.
I mean, if we vote this in, we're saying they have to be 16. We're not saying anything about. We're saying 16, and that 14 is, not a consideration.
So that's exactly what I was thinking. So if you have a 14-year-old and they can't vote, what's the purpose of them being on the neighborhood council?
They can be advisory, or they can be on a special committee.
They can vote on all kinds of things.
But why can't they? each neighbor council decide that on their on their own, because I think they should decide on that on their own. If they have, it should not be an a template. It goes by each neighbor council.
That's currently how things are. And I think, and we've had discussions about this at length, where there are certain members of this commission who are pretty adamant about 16 being the floor, and others who think it should be lower. I think
it should be higher.
And others who think it should be higher. So this was sort of an idea around a compromise. I think what's really coming down to it is that, you know, the city clerk is trying to create some consistency so that, like, if you live on one side of, you know, a street and you're in a neighborhood council that allows you to participate and vote, and then you cross the street and all of a sudden you can't because it's 18, that there's some inequity around that. So the idea being, like, let's establish a voting age so there's consistency across the city.
But everyone's different. So I understand about consistency. However, though, each area is different. Can we go ahead and vote on something?
Sure. All right. Well, the motion is, we do have a motion to support the neighborhood councils that have sought a uniform age of 16 and inclusion of individuals on the board under the age of 18, except precluding them from any law that precludes them from participating in a vote. Okay. That's the motion.
Okay.
All in favor? Maybe we better take a hand vote.
And we'll indicate, that's why it says vote here, we'll indicate if it wasn't a unanimous vote.
Right.
So.
Okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I have this on here, so that the council offices can say, oh, this wasn't a consensus.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why.
So all in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2. No?
No, I haven't voted yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so far
maybe
it's one.
Maybe it goes down.
How many?
Just goes down. Two. Seems to me it's lack of a...
Well, wait, let's do... Well, no, we have to do...
Name? Can you just go by name?
Well, because if somebody abstains...
Oppose, and then if anyone abstains.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
Commissioner
so
Atkinson?
Yeah.
Aye.
Commissioner Lippman?
Aye.
Commissioner Schaefer?
Come back to me.
Come back, he said.
Commissioner Derekitos?
Abstaining, no.
Nay or abstain?
If you abstain, it's a yes vote.
Say no.
Commissioner Webby?
Aye.
Commissioner Regalado?
No.
Commissioner Schaefer?
I'm going to abstain from this.
That is...
Okay, so we've got
abstention
three.
Abstention is the same as an aye, isn't
two.
It?
Mm-hmm. So motion passes? With
motion
four?
Passes. Abstention is the same as an aye. All right. So, but we will make a note. That it was not unanimous.
I think that's appropriate.
So. No problem with that. No problem. Number F is the required training for planning and land use committee. I guess this was over and above the training that folks have to go through with regards to ethics and fundraising.
Right.
Planning seems to be a very important part of the neighborhood council movement, and so they think there should be, or asked our opinion on the required training for planning and land use committee.
Okay, so I guess
Commissioner Maggie Derek Kiros would like to make a motion that we approve as written.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay, so the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, so whoopee. There's been a motion. A motion made by Derek Kiros. Am I close? That's all right.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, and seconded by Commissioner Lippman to accept this reform, which requires required training for planning and land use committee. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Public comment? I forgot.
Sorry.
I forgot to ask for public comment.
No. There's been no amendments, and we have no current.
Oh, we have no comment. Oh, okay. All right.
Moving right over to, Reform G, rollover funding.
Oh, boy. So this one would recommend or supports establish this recommendation supports establishing a process for rolling over funds up to $10,000 for 1 year only at the end of the fiscal year. The commission recommends that the city council consider a percentage of the total budget rather than a dollar amount, as NC budgets can fluctuate year to year. I don't know if people like that one or not.
I do.
Oh yeah, I was thinking of donations. Yeah, I forgot.
No, this is just the other one.
Is that a motion?
I would like to make a motion that we vote.
We find out if that was a motion.
Huh?
Was that a motion?
Yes, I move that.
I would like to second your motion.
All right, so it's been moved by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Derek Quiros to support the rollover funding recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
With discussion?
No.
Any discussion?
No. Oh, discussion we want to discuss? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
There was no public comment.
No.
Okay.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passed. Right. Rollover funding. Okay. Next one is removing expiration of the ability of neighborhood councils to accept. Oh, this is the one I was confused about. Okay. Removing the expiration of the ability for neighborhood councils to accept in-kind or monetary donations.
I would like to deny that. Can I discuss that?
Finish looking at the motion.
Okay, I would like to make a motion that we do not approve H, amending Los Angeles for them, whatever you just said.
So for purposes of discussion, I'll second it, just for purposes of discussion.
I would like to discuss this. My fear with allowing neighborhood councils to accept donations is I feel that they're already getting funding from the city, so if they accept donations, then we take away the funding. I also feel with there's things already going on where if a business wants to establish themselves in the community and they start asking for donations and then now they're getting a letter from the neighbor council, let's just keep our people honest. I mean, I'm going to see a lot of conflict of interest there. So if the businesses are trying to come into the community and then they start donating to a neighbor council because they need a letter from a neighbor council, it's kind of like now I'm sure the business feels like they're being bribed by a neighbor council.
Just a question, because I just want to be sure I'm correct on procedure. Now, if a neighborhood council wants to undergo some kind of, event or community, and they can work with nonprofits, but the money goes to the nonprofit,
correct,
and then they fund what the neighborhood council does.
Yeah, because you're asking businesses and developers are asking neighborhood councils for letters of recommendations of their project, and now you're letting a neighborhood council accept donations. That's a bribe, because now they're going to be taking money from this developer, and they're going to approve their project. It's just a business, we'll let you in our community, but you have to give us $10,000. Why are they accepting donations when the city's giving them money?
Of course, there's an old political saying that Jess Unruh, the former Speaker of the California Assembly, said that if you can't accept money and still screw them, then you aren't worth your weight in gold. So you should be able to get a donation. And I'm only going by what Jess Unruh said.
And so
it's a quote from Speaker Jess Unruh.
Go Joy.
Did you know?
I didn't make it up. It's verbatim.
No, she didn't.
We can find it anyway.
So
aren't I right? Had you heard that quote? It's an old quote.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's right.
I think it's if you can't drink their booze.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to go.
Oh, you don't want to go there? Okay.
I didn't want to go into
and then vote again. Okay.
Everything that he said.
Because I'm pretty sure that's what he. All right.
Now you have to smoke a joint.
I agree. I mean, we have an administrative code that actually has very, and I read it, very specific procedures and restrictions on what NCs can accept in terms of in-kind and monetary donations. But I don't expect every neighborhood council member to read that. And so, you know, yeah, we kind of do set up a liability for neighborhood councils and for the city attorney to be enforcing something
exactly.
like that. But here's the issue is, like, for example, the West Side Regional Alliance of Councils, right? It's sort of this loose association of neighborhood councils in the West Side. You know, it's an alliance. And they have a website where they post the agenda. Great thing, but, like, it costs $250 a year to maintain that website. And the only way for them to do it is to have a neighborhood council volunteer $250 every year to pay for that. And it's sort of like, well, who's going to foot that bill? And so they've been looking for a way to establish a nonprofit to kind of support that. And at some point, there was a neighborhood council nonprofit for all neighborhood councils. Mm-hmm. And so I want to recommend the idea that we... Oh, and Lenny's got the paperwork.
I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have the paperwork. Okay.
He does, though.
Okay. So I guess what I'd like to put forward the idea that that we reestablish an independent that we are against this, but we encourage the department or the city or someone to reestablish a nonprofit to support neighborhood council events such as community days and street fairs, whereby a simple system could be established for neighborhood councils to apply for grant funds from the nonprofit, which would be responsible for fundraising, managing, and complying with regulations on gifts and behested payments to the nonprofit. I mean, this is what the Mayor's Fund is, essentially.
Correct, and that's a good idea. I mean, if the department does it in general, but not necessarily each neighbor council. Another thing, too, neighbor councils are supposed to work with partnerships. So if they have a partnership with nonprofits, there's so many nonprofits that you could have a partnership with.
Right, absolutely. But
just keep the neighborhood council people
right.
clean, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it is a liability.
I feel like there's an equity issue of some, you know, there just aren't well-established nonprofits in certain neighborhoods.
Correct.
And so, you know, it might be a challenge for us, you know, not to pick on anyone, but we're in Central Alameda. Maybe there isn't a nonprofit that they can work with, and so having
but they're neighbors. So if they this is their area here, and you know they don't get along, whatever, then you go to this neighborhood
sure.
because you want to build bridges within
okay.
other neighborhoods. So you could do that, but
so you're recommending our motion just be like we reject this out of hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not. I
want to keep our people clean. Discussion, I second it, so it's been moved and seconded. So that's what we're discussing now. Because I kind of thought, oh, it's a great idea. Yeah, you know, neighborhood councils should have funding until I listened to Maggie, and I thought, you know, it can be a corrupting force.
Yeah, we're going to corrupt accept residential people.
Even though I do believe in what Jess Unruh said, I believe it could be a corrupting force. I like the idea of maybe a special fund, but I know that neighborhood councils work, if they are really organized, work well with nonprofits.
Exactly.
I can't remember which of my neighborhood councils did it, but it was over here somewhere. God, I wish I could remember that neighborhood council. And the president is the youngest president of a neighborhood council. And he found a nonprofit, and the neighborhood council was doing a summer school for kids because there was no summer school in the elementary schools. And in the Hispanic community, they really needed an outlet for children. And so it was they established a summer school, and they worked through Wright Edelman's organization to do a summer school. They do them all over the country, and they were able to work quite well and actually get some of their young people, young students who are in college, employed as summer school teachers. So you just have to do research sometime, but you can work with some really good nonprofits without being corrupted, yourself. So I would support the. Maggie's motion.
Might I make a comment?
We have a vote on the motion.
No, I want to make a comment.
We're still discussing it.
Lynn? One advantage I see of bringing that section back is it does have a number of checks and balances within it. Because if you look at the history, there have been occasions when neighborhood councils have, I'll put it as softly as I can, held a project hostage until such time as the developer has donated money for a park or built a facility where people could meet and things like that, which really isn't an in-kind or monetary donation to the neighborhood council, but it is doing something that the neighborhood council feels would be good for its neighborhood. So is there a big difference between that type of activity and accepting some kind of regulated in-kind donations and things like that? Just a comment.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a difference. They did that on the city planning commission that I was on. When a developer wanted to build, they had to promise to build low-income housing somewhere else or at the same place where they were building housing. That's one of the things. You know, you can't build your project unless you provide this. Or you can't do this unless you provide a community center. And so a lot of developers were doing that, do that sort of thing. It's sort of similar. That's a little bit different than actually giving money straight to a neighborhood council.
Yep, different.
You know, so that makes a difference. Public comment?
Yes, what you had just said about.
I think you have to come to the mic, it's being recorded.
Or could we take the microphone to him? He has a little difficult. Does it reach, or does the whole thing roll?
We got one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, can you make it? Okay, pertaining to what you had just said about Edelman's summer school thing for the Hispanics and everything, that was an incident that happened this year. Matter of fact, you lucky Dunn didn't get in trouble, I'm going to tell you. Because a lot of charges could have been filed for child abuse and everything. Because I just made an unannounced appearance, and what I saw, nothing was going on. They're just rigging it down. I'm telling you what happened.
Okay.
They claim to have going to have reading this, reading that. You're going to have about 80 students, no differentiated groups on how to read and everything. No, no. Nothing was going on. On top of that, the person that was supposed to have been there, they weren't there. And matter of fact, the people were running the city, the center there, they weren't there. That was a case of child abuse, and you talking about.
Was that your neighborhood council?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Now I remember.
And not only that, you kind of got in trouble. And by me having credentials and stuff, I was supposed to. I'm just sitting back waiting. We're supposed to be having a hearing with Thomas Sung. But from here on out, please, just let the UCLA or the library bring the reading program on out to the parks or whatever it is in the central Alameda. Do not go for that. Because, I mean, you don't want to get involved like that with the state of California.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just letting you know what happened. All right? Okay, please.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you. Yeah, and I didn't know.
I know.
Okay.
We have a motion.
Okay, so the motion is, what is the motion?
The motion was to reject this.
To reject this. Oh, let me put my glasses on. Okay, so the motion is to reject the expression of the ability of neighborhood councils to accept in-kind or monetary donations. All right? That's the motion. All in favor, say aye. Or all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye, aye, aye. Any ayes over here?
Aye.
And Ms. Wiebe and Mr. Lippman?
Yeah, I'm in favor of not extending or not trying to remove the sunset. Is there something in there? I'm sorry, I did not read the motion.
Right here. We're just saying that the commission does not support this recommendation.
Okay, great.
This reform recommendation.
So
aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. So the motion passes. Thank you. Oh, this is a good one. Same-day elections. The commission believes that this warrants further study while uniform citywide advertising and outreach has its benefits. The logistics of qualifying candidates may be too burdensome for the city clerk's office. So
the reform here is not to say that we should have same-day elections. The reform is, like, specifically, like, hey, we should study this and see what the consequences are.
The reform is what?
The reform motion that David Rue, or that Councilman Rue put forward, is not saying we should support the idea of same-day elections. It's we should, this warrants further study. So we're not, it's sort of like what's going on with the public bank on the ballot tomorrow. There's a lot of misnomers about that, but really it's saying that the city council under the charter is not allowed to discuss the idea or even study the idea of a public bank.
Oh, so what we're saying, just to make it simple and get through this, what we're saying is that we believe that there should be further study on the same-day elections.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I just point of,
okay.
Point of clarification, just to support
support
Commissioner Lippman's point. It just says on the costs and other implications for holding neighbor council elections on the same day to provide a uniform citywide advertising outreach campaign.
So I guess we would just change it to say the commission agrees with the reform recommendation and believes that this that same day elections warrants further study.
Okay, so that's your motion?
Yep.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Commissioner Maggie Derrick Kiroth will second that.
Okay, so it's been moved by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Derrick Kiroth to accept this reform I same-day election that we believe that it warrants further study. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that passes. Okay, number J, should be non-controversial. Allow neighborhood councils to use city space. The commission supports this reform and recommends that the city council consider and vote on council file 160298 on neighborhood council use of city space.
I would like to make a motion that we approve that.
Hmm? I'll second.
I would like to make a motion that we approve it.
Motion made by Derrick Kiroth and seconded by Commissioner Lippman to allow neighborhood councils to use city space.
Yes.
We've discussed this before, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passed. Next reform. Another easy one. Share best practices with all neighborhood councils.
I would like to make a motion we approve this.
There's a motion written to share best practices with all neighborhood councils.
I second.
And seconded by, motion made by Derrick Kiroth and seconded by Commissioner Lippman to share best practices with all neighborhood councils. Any discussion? Public comment? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. And number I. Point of contact between NCs and city departments. I was a little confused on this one, so Mr. Lippman.
I would like to make a motion that we approve as written.
That we accept it?
Eli?
Yeah, so I think we may want to clarify this one because, I don't know, it's a little vague. We're saying, well, we support this in concept, but there's these concerns. So do we either support it or we sort of support if amended, maybe is what our position is, or support if addressed? And the concerns are that the city departments lack the resources to provide a single point of contact for all 98 neighborhood councils, and that it could create a single gatekeeper, resulting in less, not more, access to city departments. So, you know, if you and so-called city department point of contact don't see eye to eye on something, you may all of a sudden not get your emails or phone calls returned.
Can I ask a question? If you know this from what Councilman Rue was trying to say. What's the purpose of the point of contact between neighborhood councils and city departments? What I found with my neighborhood councils oftentimes is that they get so overburdened that they don't even use the point of contact at the city departments. Well, and it just seems to me that...
When I worked for a congressional office, we had a list of like contacts that were internal to the FBI, Department of Justice, Department of, you know, Health and Human Services that only we had access to. So when we had to figure out a constituent issue, we had, this was like the congressional contact person. So I think that's what it's trying to say is like, hey, we neighbor council leaders are elected officials in the city of Los Angeles. They should have like a point of contact that's specific to helping them navigate a very complex bureaucracy, I think, is the intent. The question becomes, is that something that each department would be able to provide, or if it's better to just have, like,
so
there's no,
so
like,
an example neighbor councils would be, so if you're in city planning, so if you have a city planning issue, they're saying that there should be one point of contact where 99 neighborhood councils could call that point of contact.
Right. And, you know, as we know, as with our poor city attorney, dealing with 45 neighborhood councils is quite a challenge.
Okay. Commissioner Schaefer.
Yes.
Commissioner Derek Cures is
going home.
Has to leave. It's 8 o'clock.
Okay.
She's got to put her babies to sleep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins.
This isn't a legal issue, but I
can't hear you.
Mayor, Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, I thought the mayor had established some guidelines or something for the various city departments to have, you know, outreach, you know, to have outreach contacts within each department for neighborhood councils. And I don't know, am I not working? Okay. And I don't know if it's like a single one or maybe like with some departments, it could be based on a regional kind of basis. But I do know, like, you know, that planning has several, you know, several contacts based on the, you know, the planning commission areas that work with those local neighborhood councils. So I'm just you know, raising that if anyone may have any further information.
See, I think I think we're making this some neighborhood councils made this a bigger issue than it is. I just don't see neighborhood councils using the resources that they have. And it seems one point of contact for 99 neighborhood councils doesn't seem logical, because in most departments in the city, they do work according to areas, just like we work according to areas. There's somebody in South Central LA, and you can call and somebody will, and they'll give you a point of contact for South Central and who handles South Central, or who handles the Valley, or who handles East LA, or who handles West LA. So, I mean, there could be a point of contact for regions, you know, I mean, you know, like that. But I don't think one person for, and all that one person, if you get one person in each department, all that one person is going to do is refer you to your area. That's what's going to happen. So I'm not quite sure what kind of sense this makes when I know that neighborhood councils, and I guess I'm just going by experience of when I worked in the legislature and when I had to call local government for something, and I share the information with neighborhood councils. Just call your city council person; they'll tell you who to talk to, or just call the department. You know, just call planning department, and you talk to the planning commissioner for that area. For in my area, it's Mike Davis, and then he'll tell you who to talk to. So, I mean, it seems to me that it's up to the neighborhood councils to set up their own contacts, and that we shouldn't have to make it mandatory that there be one person that's going to talk to 99 neighborhood councils, and they're going to only be referred anyway. And most neighborhood councils, the real good ones, they know who to talk to. Commissioner Wiebe.
Okay. I don't dispute anything that you're saying. My understanding of everything that we've been asked to look at and the reason of all of our town halls is to get further input, understanding that all of this, this motion has come out of the research that Councilmember Rue's office has done, looking for more exposure through the work that we're doing and feedback from us as commissioners. And the reason I like to go back to the original language is that it's very long, but it's very specific here that if they were to develop a point of contact, and we know from everything we've heard from the community, no one is really in favor of this. All right, but put that aside. The concept was that there be a list of key contact lists, key city departments, on and on and on, whole list of people. But at the bottom, it does say, formally appoint a point of contact at each neighborhood council to communicate between each neighborhood council and a point of contact at each department. So I think the intent was to have multiple individuals trained in understanding neighborhood councils that would be able to be the point of contact for each of now 99 neighborhood councils. Yes. But all of the information that we've received from the community at our town halls has been, we know who to call, let us have our contacts with the people that we know. So it's ambitious, but it doesn't seem at this point that it's something, I think it's just better that we go with the recommendations that we're fortunate enough that Commissioner Littman has put together. And in my words, not muddy the waters with more things that perhaps are just adding more layers that may or may not work. So,
yeah. My one concern is that, you know, obviously there are certain communities who call their city contacts every single day and complain about this issue or that pothole or that light that's out. And then there's other neighborhoods who have 120,000 residents and just don't have the wherewithal or the ability to make that commitment. And I realize that there's real inequities in this city in terms of city services, and a lot of it's determined by who complains the most. And so I wonder, by establishing sort of a list of contacts, we create a little bit more equity in the city, so that voices that aren't heard as much or as loudly are actually paid attention to, like voices in San Pedro, right? Commissioner Regalado. No, I mean, let's be honest. That's why we have the neighborhood council system, because there were portions of the city who felt as if they weren't getting the responsiveness they needed from the city, and so they decided that they tried to secede, and the system was born out of that secession movement. And I know that it's still a challenge in the San Pedro community to get the city services you deserve.
Well, it's not just there.
Right. I mean, it's all over. So, anyway, sorry.
Didn't
mean
to. Go ahead, Ray. Tough shot.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Commissioner Regalado, I have... I want to make a statement in two parts, or two statements, and perhaps maybe this may lead to a question.
Okay.
When I first read this, or in fact when many of the people down in my area read it, their first impression was the city department would like a single point of contact at each neighborhood council, but not necessarily really requesting that the department have a person that is actually accountable to a neighborhood council to answer questions in a timely manner. That was a big concern, because if there is one challenge that we have, that is getting timely responses from city departments. Right. When there are issues that we have to address based on the process that we are responsible to uphold. The other part was, who holds, where is the accountability going to be held? So if, in fact, there is a problem with two-way equitable communication, who do we go to navigate through that? That is where I think the bog in the system kind of falls, is being able to make sure the city departments would love to be able to tell us everything and anything that they would like us to know. But when we are asking questions and need quick answers, then it's who do we go to? Where do we go? And we could have that one individual that we can call, and perhaps maybe that one individual can direct us to the proper individual to actually get the answer. And I think Commissioner Lippman and I, we talked about this early on, about this should be definitely promoting two-way communication and make it very explicit that if there's an expectation that the city wants neighborhood council access, neighborhood council should expect the same thing for city access, and it be equitably it should be expected. And if that doesn't happen, then who do we go to get it done? Case in point, we have had city departments come and tell us neighborhood councils were expecting public comment on an issue, and you have 15 days to do it. Now, I don't know any neighborhood council out there that can come up with a 15-day process to get public comment on an issue. But we're, and I might be exaggerating a little bit, but we just had an issue with planning not too long ago about, okay, we're giving you 30 days. And even at 30 days, it still doesn't work within the neighborhood council process. Mm-hmm. So I believe that there is room. I think this is a good starting point, but I think we need to kind of develop it a little bit more so that there is equity in the line of communication between neighborhood council and city department, and that it guarantees or emphasizes two-way communication and holding everyone responsible.
I think that makes sense. Anybody, does everybody know former council member Tom Labonge?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Commissioner Atkinson. This whole discussion is really interesting to me when we talk about neighborhood councils and leadership and all that, and all of these departments that we should be having a relationship with. And to tell you the truth, I don't worry about city departments. I don't think we make enough use of our city council. Whenever I had a problem in, you know, another life, I've had so many jobs, but anyway, whenever I've had a problem, and sure, there's a department that takes care of it, but I always have demanded that those aides and those representatives that represent the city council tell me what I should be doing and where I should go, and tell me quickly and as soon as possible, and make demands. I think we don't make enough demands on our city council. In some of the neighborhood councils in South LA, the reps from the city council offices come pretty good. In some neighborhood councils, they don't come at all, and you have to go try to find them. And so there's a demand on, in other words, my feeling is that we need to deal better and have a relationship with our city council people and say, look, we're having a street problem, we're having this problem, and then they should say, okay, you need to talk to so-and-so in planning, you need to talk to so-and-so in street services, you need to talk to the police department. And I don't think we make good enough use or best use of our city council. And I think there's certain demands we have to make. Now, we can do all this, and, you know, it's a good start. I don't have anything against saying, you know, that, you know, we should have some kind of gatekeeper. I don't know. But it just seems to me that where the problem is with these doggone city council people that don't always do their job and who don't, you know, who don't send their reps out. And that's why, you know, you want them to show up. And so you can talk about your problems. And in some of the successes in some of the neighborhood councils that I've dealt with where they've had problems, it has been, yes, they work through departments, but it all started with their city council rep. And they went through them, and there was something in my southeast neighborhood council, and I forgot what it was, street maintenance or something like that, but they went to the city council rep. And then the city council rep got him to street maintenance, and all of a sudden that street maintenance guy was coming to every meeting. So, but it was through the city council. And I just think that that's the way it, you know, I just think that's the power base of the way it should be done. Now, we can do all this. I mean, I don't have anything against it. But I always figure you go straight to the top when you need to take care of business. And to me, the top is the city council office. That's just my opinion.
Commissioner Regalado, from my position as a representative for the period of time that I was a representative to a board of supervisors, to a supervisor, we welcome those calls. Mm-hmm. We welcome those calls for people to call us so that we can help them navigate. Mm-hmm. But there are those who feel that the only function for a person, you know, representing a neighbor, an elected official, is to serve them and them alone. And so it became problematic with individuals who thought that this individual was my personal entree into any and every county department around. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's what you get paid for. What I tried to do is try to make sure that there was a relationship that was developed between that stakeholder or that stakeholder group and a particular.
Exactly.
And so, and I don't want to say that I disagree with you, because I completely agree, but I do believe that if there is the expectation by city departments, or in this case, county departments, that if someone is designated to answer the question, then that's what they will do. And I think I go along with, I think you might have said it, Commissioner Atkinson, about maybe this should be more regionalized as opposed to a single point of contact, because then it becomes closer to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because all our neighborhoods are unique. You know,
and most departments are like that anyway.
I mean, right? Yeah, I think that's probably the best way of doing it. But I do truly believe that if there is a mandate by the city that the department should be accessible and share information back and forth, then we're finding ourselves in a much better place, because then it doesn't become adversarial.
Okay.
It becomes cooperative and collaborative. And that's how we really get a lot of stuff done.
Commissioner Schaefer?
Yes.
I think there's a couple of points to this. We have some neighborhood councils that fear that this will become a gatekeeper. But as I've said before, within city departments, there is an interdepartmental representative. And somebody who wants to know something or find someone within a particular department, if they're in another city department, knows who to contact and can be directed to where they're going. If that were the way this worked, in other words, if there was a single point of contact, and I know that if I get a hold of that person and say, hi, who do I contact to talk about this and so,
right,
that they will direct me there. Others fear that they have built up relationships within various city departments, and if there's a single point of contact, they're going to lose the ability to use those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The problem I see is that as we have new board members come in and the institutional knowledge is lost as others leave, somebody has to set up all new conduits. They've got to make all these contacts again. So that would be an advantage of having a single point of contact, as city departments have, to call and say, hi, who do I talk to out in this area of the West Valley with regards to thus and so?
Right.
You know, so...
So regional.
Yeah. So I think that if that's the way it functions, in other words, it's not that individual that says, oh, I'll solve your problem for you. It's that, you know, that says, hi, I can direct you to the person to solve the problem. It's like when I get emails from our stakeholders that says, what about thus and so? I know who to point them to.
So maybe
I point them to a particular person in the department or a particular department here, contact this department, and they can answer your question for you.
So, Commissioner Atkinson, maybe we can make this a little clearer then if we maybe talk about it on a regional basis?
Or if this person is, as a point of contact, is not an information giver, but a resource for where the information can be obtained.
So what we're essentially saying is we would like each department to have a neighborhood council resource.
That's sort of what it would be, yeah. Or like an intragovernmental contact that planning can call somebody in Rec and Parks and say, hi, who do I talk to about thus and so?
Right.
And they get that information.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. That, I think, would be very beneficial.
Okay.
Be an interesting network.
So maybe we call it that. So the commission supports establishing an intergovernmental contact in each department.
So it doesn't burden one person.
For?
Well, a single point of contact for information, or a single point of contact for direction to city services within the department, things like that.
Okay.
And does that negate the single contact per neighborhood council? What was your question?
And the single contact per neighborhood council. Now that's another question. And I don't disagree that neighborhood council, well, like who is it? Not the planning department. Well, planning is DWP has an MOU with neighborhood councils, and
right.
You use a point of contact and things of that nature, and you pass information back and forth. But I'm trying to think of the single contact within a neighborhood council that, well, generally it's the president or the vice president
that
can be contacted,
right,
by a city department.
But the idea being that if the Department of Planning is doing a whole bunch of community meetings,
right,
they should be inviting neighborhood councils, and they need a single point of contact.
Well, I think really, right now, if a department, city department, wants to notify people, they have the Dunn website, well, the Dunn email list, and they send an email to every listed board member on that neighborhood council. Or if they want to call somebody, they end up calling the president.
Sure.
I mean, they always know there's somebody to get a hold of.
Right.
So, theoretically.
All right, so what are we...
In my neighborhood, just as an example, Commissioner Atkinson, just as an example, in my neighborhood council, which is a historic neighborhood council, West Jefferson area, but anyway, they have a chair of the planning committee, and the chair, mm-hmm, keeps up with what's going on in planning in the area that my neighborhood council is in, which is the 10th council district. And they keep up with city planning, with council files that deal with planning in the 10th council district, and so she can report on it, and she has a committee. And so she has a contact at city planning to talk about 10th council district stuff that goes on. Sometimes it's expedited by the city council office, but most of the time she has a contact now because she's been doing it for so long. That she contacts, has her own contact
at city planning about stuff that's going on in the 10th council district. And so it's something like that, I guess, that we're, you know, talking about, but she took it upon herself to do that. And over the years has accomplished, they have one of the best planning committees mm-hmm. in the neighborhood council system. So anyway, it was just an example of what, of how it works.
So I guess we're moving that, or this is what I have so far. The commission supports a single point of contact for information purposes or to provide who to contact per department.
Per department? Did you just say?
Yeah. Okay. Or provide.
All right.
To provide.
You want to add something?
Yeah, I'm just saying if you look at Rue's actual motion, it says facilitate the training of those points of contact at those relevant departments on the most fruitful ways to assist and communicate with neighborhood council members. So
that's kind of general.
I think that what they are saying here is with the assist and communicate is to do just that.
Right.
Hi, who do I talk to in this department? Here's who you talk to. But it does go on to say that neighborhood councils should appoint a point of contact to communicate between each NC and the point of contact of each department. I don't know if...
So then are we saying that we support the first part but not the second part?
Well, my problem is there are some neighborhood councils with a limited number of board members. We couldn't have... I mean, somebody would be point of contact for three different departments.
Right.
You know, I mean, that may not be the worst way to do it. I still think that the president would be the point of contact. That's
right.
At least my thought.
So maybe it sounds like it would work to support the first part of the motion, but not the second part.
Not necessarily the second.
Not necessarily the second.
Okay. Or we might just say that, I don't know. I was going to say the president is designated the default unless somebody else is appointed.
Yeah, in my neighborhood council, they have if it's planning, they have a chair of planning.
Yep.
So she becomes the point of contact.
Yep. Makes sense.
So it depends on what the neighborhood council, who they appoint to do these things, you know.
Okay. So.
That's how it works at mine.
So we would then say the commission supports this recommendation with the caveat that the president be the default point of contact for each NC unless otherwise designated.
I think that would work.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, that's on the neighborhood council part.
That.
Okay.
By the way, most presidents will be very quick to appoint somebody.
Yeah. So you have it on both ends then, who the point of contact is in the neighborhood council and who in the department.
Okay. We're supporting
public comment?
The residents of the city council.
Just a moment. Let me bring you the mic.
Okay. The district directors of city councilmen are very knowledgeable about the planning department, especially I'll give a kudos to Mr. James Westbrook, because he's the one that guides me through what's going on and everything. And can he always ask me about certain people, how they're coming along. I say, well, they just have a little higher energy. But, you know, he's the person, though. He's very knowledgeable on the Honorable Curran Price. That's mm-hmm. all I have to say, all right?
But some neighborhood councils, their field reps are not as good as Mr. Westbrook, so it just kind of depends. You know, on the neighborhood.
All right, so I move that the commission supports the recommendation of Councilman Rue with the caveat that the president of each NC be the point of contact unless otherwise appointed.
Do you have a second?
Yes.
All right, it's been moved by by Commissioner Lippman and seconded by Commissioner Schaefer. Get back to it. I turned to
page. Wowzers. All right.
To regarding the point of contact between NCs and city departments.
Okay.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passes.
Great.
All right.
Well, I will make these the changes that we made and send this over to the department, and they'll
put it on
a formal letterhead and send it off to the world. That's not, and we'll do it all tomorrow.
We do it all
before tomorrow. The polls close.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment if I could, please, real quick. Commissioner Atkins, I'd like to make a comment real quick. Commissioner Regalado, I really want to acknowledge the hard work that Commissioner Lippman put into all this. This is a lot of work, and he and it was I'm sure probably thinking that it was a thankless job, but I really want to recognize the work that he did. Thank you so much for the work that
you
did.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Yay.
Yes.
Hold your applause till we get through item number 10, though. But thank you.
Now we get to the hard part.
Okay, number 10, our next most important item, discussion and possible action to define the types and duration of contacts necessary to constitute substantial and ongoing participation for a community interest stakeholder. Mm-hmm. As authorized under the city's administrative code, Title 28, Article 2, Section 22.806B, under administrative code, Section 22.811A, subsection 2. Okay, we have two things going on here, don't we?
Do you want to explain it?
We have two issues here of simply talking about substantial and ongoing, which Commissioner Schaefer has been working on for quite a while, and which the City Council asked us to define. But then we have what has come up under Rue's ordinance stuff is regarding community interest stakeholder. And when you look at both of them, they sort of have some of the same characteristics of what a community interest stakeholder, what that means, and who they are members of. But then, substantial and ongoing by itself, we started talking about it because the City Council asked us to talk about it, and we wanted to try to pass something so that they could it could be implemented for the elections coming up in 2019. But then we kind of got into the other part, talking about community interest stakeholder, and so we kind of have two suggestions,
right.
a great compromise. You can't make up your mind, just give both suggestions to the City Council. Just give them both and say, you know, you all handle it. But anyway, so I think I want to give you a little rest for a second and let Commissioner Schaefer talk about the ongoing of substantial, and then we'll kind of talk about what the similarities are, or if there are any similarities.
Well, Commissioner Lippman and I have talked as members of the committee, and really our two suggestions are very close to each other. A couple of major differences. One is that Commissioner Lippman strikes the language in the code that defines currently community interest stakeholder, and then goes on to state that it belongs to those that participate in, our members, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he describes certain things. Mm-hmm. The definition that I originally put forward does not strike the language, but instead attempts to simply define community interest stakeholder. We both agree that it's should be with regards to organizations, belonging to organizations, not less than a year in existence, et cetera, et cetera. He goes on to state that, let me find it, neighborhood councils are encouraged to, within the boundaries of the definition that he's put above, the 1 year, et cetera, define other specific groups of stakeholders that would qualify under these definitions within their community. So they could name specific organizations and such. We've just given examples. Now, one thing that where we depart on is that I look at the fact that there should be some period of time that the person who wants to qualify as a community interest stakeholder must have participated in or belonged to this community organization. And I had put in 90 days, but I thought about it, and I think 30 is more reasonable than 90 days. And that, at least in my mind, prevents, and that would be 90 days, 30 days prior to the election or selection at that particular neighborhood council. And I think that's to stop the last moment people from suddenly becoming stakeholders. He does not have any such limitation within his definition. So I think that's two things that you know, where there is a difference. But basically, both of us agree that you have to be a member or participate in some type of community-based organization that's been in existence within the neighborhood council area, has a physical location, and it's got to be there for at least a year. Mine also, and I took some hints from the city attorney and restricted certain things, states what at least I would hope would be part of the, what is not the type of contacts to establish substantial and ongoing participation, and that would have to do with, and I eliminated anything specific, had to do with organizations that deal in sales to the public or personal service organizations or businesses. And obviously I'm thinking of things like gyms and such as that. That type of thing, the city attorney may still object to that, is that we're discriminating against businesses. But then the question becomes, should businesses be allowed to give a person stakeholder status merely because they patronize that particular business? At a meeting a couple of months ago, the city clerk's election folks were there. They're at this last meeting, too, of the Valley of the Citywide Alliance of Neighborhood Councils. I couldn't be there though, and we spoke, and they are seeking guidance. They want guidance because a lot of us talked about the so-called Starbucks stakeholder that they reinstituted with two receipts, and they said they had looked to others for guidance, and the department told them it was okay to do it. Now, I can't quite see the department doing that, and if they did, shame on them. But they said they're looking for guidance. And if we came up with something, or if the department came up with something, or if the city council came up with something, they would look to that for guidance as to how they work the community interest stakeholder for the 2019 elections. And the reason I think it's so important for us to come up with something is that Council Member Rue's things will never be there in time because they want it to be able to look at it for candidates. So that means at least 90 days before the election, there has to be something that gives them guidance. So we're coming up on that pretty quick. It's not going to be long before they start. Maybe it's 120 days. I can't remember. But, we're coming up on that pretty quick as to when they're going to start allowing people to qualify as candidates. So that's why it's so important. And somebody suggested maybe we should send them both in and see which one sticks to the wall. So there you go.
Okay, good explanation, because that's exactly what...
Maybe I'll just add for a point of clarification, this is Commissioner Lipp. And, the first one, the first page, which is the shorter one, really is in reference to the motion that passed by City Council that said, here, Board of Neighborhood Commissioners, we'd like you to define substantial and ongoing. The second one really is more in response to Councilman Rue's recommendation, which is to remove and replace community interest stakeholder. And in my mind, they sort of are guardrails. One, the first one is a little bit more restrictive. The second one is a little bit broader and allows for more definitions. And my feeling or my sense on it was, well, let's move both. And if we support them, we can send both to City Council and let them make the decision on how they want to move forward. And, you know, at the end of the day, ultimately, we aren't the decision makers. We are making a recommendation to City Council, who has to make a decision. Or, as you said, a department, if City Council doesn't act, who needs some guidelines or guidance that they can use. And so that's kind of where we are and where we are today. So.
And with regard to that first page, thinking about it, I think perhaps the 90 days would be too long a period, and 30 days would probably be a better period for membership. The main thing is stopping those who at the last minute are suddenly recruited to become community interest stakeholders. I know there are some neighborhood councils that aren't going to be happy with this because it does not allow strictly community of interest people to become CIS. But it does give those that belong to churches, to nonprofits, and all these other things within their neighborhood, which is the mainstay, the opportunity to be a CIS. So that's where we are. It also, I know that Sherman Oaks wanted to look at it as an organization that confers a benefit on your neighborhood. And they said the tree people in Red Cross, which have physical. But then, of course, you get into a very broad range of what kind of organization confers a benefit on the neighborhood council area. So you've got that argument that's going to be going very open to interpretation. So there we are.
So want to do a public comment?
Of course.
Before we...
James on. Quick question to Commissioner Schaefer about the one that you wrote. Were you trying to define what substantial and ongoing participation was supposed to be, or were you addressing Ryu's letter B motion to define or provide further definition of what a community interest stakeholder should be? Because I think it kind of... you start off by saying, well, these are this is what defines substantial ongoing. And then in the last paragraph, you go and establish what a community interest stakeholder shouldn't be. So I was just wondering, because you guys were making it sound like, so what Commissioner Lipman wrote doesn't really define substantial ongoing. Or it kind of does, in the sense that has a physical street address within the boundaries of neighborhood council for less than 1 year. So that kind of covers some of it. I think Commissioner Schaefer's proposal kind of goes into a little bit more in detail. But my question to you was, were you trying to define substantial and ongoing, or were you trying to define what a CIS should or shouldn't be, right? Because the last paragraph in Commissioner Schaefer, your proposed thing, kind of seems very exclusive in that sense.
Brief comment. the city council passed an ordinance asking us to define substantial and ongoing, and this motion was in response to that request.
I would just, I want to let commissioners and the public know that my intention with this was actually to, I think substantial and ongoing was a mistake and doesn't work, and we should just get rid of it because nobody likes it. So my intent was to really just redefine it in a new way so that we could kind of move past this substantial and ongoing battle that's been going on for 5 years and move in a very different direction. So that was kind of, it was very intentional for me not to include substantial and ongoing as specific words in the definition because I've gotten tired of debating back and forth about substantial and ongoing. Let's just move in a different direction. So.
If that's the intent, then maybe actually verbalize that. Because you guys were given the task to define it, so I think many attempts were made, and I know you guys got a lot of public input on that. But if that is the intent to kind of just get rid of it, then maybe either put it on paper
Right.
It's very difficult for us to define substantial ongoing for whatever reasons.
Right. So that's why I wrote as part of this motion. In the second paragraph, what is considered substantial and ongoing has plagued neighborhood council elections since it was amended into the plan in 2013. 2018, the city council authorized the board to define the types and duration of contacts that constitute substantial and ongoing participation and make recommendations to amend the administrative code with concurrence of the city council and the mayor. And the motion that I'm recommending, where I'd like to move, I don't mind who goes first, but the motion is the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners recommend to the City Council and Mayor that the City take a different approach to the issue of community interest stakeholder by amending the Administrative Code to define stakeholders as such. Quote, any individual who lives, works, or own real property in the neighborhood, and also to those who, comma, and then strike this language that's currently in the code, declare a stake in the neighborhood as a community interest stakeholder, defined as a person who affirms a substantial and ongoing participation within the neighborhood council's boundaries and who may be in a community organization such as, but not limited to, educational, nonprofit, and or religious organization, and replace that with any individual who lives, works, or owns real property in the neighborhood, and also to those who participates in or are a member of a community organization defined as a named entity which has a physical street address within the boundaries of the neighborhood council for not less than 1 year prior to the neighborhood council election or selection, which performs verifiable ongoing activities and operations that confer some benefit on the community. This may include, but is not limited to, Boys and Girls Clubs, Chambers of Commerce, Houses of Worship, or other faith-based organizations, educational institutions, a nonprofit organization, or other such community-based organizations. Neighborhood councils may and are encouraged to expand this definition by amending their bylaws to include other defined groups of stakeholders that conform to the above definition. So that would actually be what would go into the, or we are recommending would go, or this motion recommends would go into the administrative code. And then the other example, would this go into the administrative code, or no? It would just be part of the plan, or
no? That's
it's administrative.
That's basically.
So the administrative code would stay the same,
well,
and the plan would define what substantial and ongoing is, or.
It is all defined under the administrative code, isn't it?
Well, no, it's the administrative code.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also in the plan, but the plan is part of the administrative code.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would also be.
Yeah, and you'd end, you know, the but your comment would not be part of the administrative code.
Right.
Your comment is just that. It's comment. I understand why you put that in. Yeah.
Right. It's to you know, it's the whereas portion of the resolution.
So, if you want to do that as a motion, I will second that as a motion.
Okay.
And then I'll make a motion.
So we do. So we want to do his motion first.
I move that the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners recommends to the City Council and the Mayor the city take a different approach to the issue of community interest stakeholder by amending the administrative code to define stakeholder as such. Quote, any individual who lives, works, or owns real property in the neighborhood, and also to those who participate in or are a member of a community organization defined as a named entity which has a physical street address within the boundaries of the neighborhood council for not less than 1 year prior to the neighborhood council election or selection, which performs verifiable ongoing activity and operations that confer some benefit on the community. Should it be to the community?
Within?
On the community.
Okay. This may include, but is not limited to, Boys and Girls Clubs, Chambers of Commerce, Houses of Worship or other faith-based organizations, educational institutions, a nonprofit organization, or other such community-based organizations. Neighborhood councils may and are encouraged to expand this definition by amending their bylaws to include other defined groups of stakeholders that conform to the above definitions.
Okay, now that I would second.
Okay, so a motion has been made by Commissioner Lipman and seconded by Commissioner Schaefer on recommending to the City Council and the Mayor that the city take a different approach to the issue of community interest stakeholder by amending the administrative code. It's been moved and seconded. Any more discussion? Any questions?
Questions?
Yes. Commissioner Wiebe.
I'm very encouraged by what is written here, and I applaud your work. I also just have a question about verifiable ongoing activities and what might be considered as a benefit to the community. If any thought was given to that, should the question come up later, or is the intent that the neighborhood councils perhaps would have the opportunity to determine for themselves what they consider to be a benefit to their community?
Well, I think in the case of verifying, right, that would be a function of the city clerk, and there would need to be some sort of, you know, here's the nonprofit status paper from the IRS, or here's the business tax license from the city showing that this is, they have been in, you know, they've been established since this date. In terms of whether or not they confer some benefit on the to the community or on the community, I think the way that I sort of formulated it was, well, here's a list of suggested, you know, organizations that we've sort of established confer some benefit on the community. But okay, if a neighborhood council believes that there is other types of organizations or interests, such as a recreational interest, for the example I give is, Chatsworth has established that stabling a horse in that neighborhood is a defined group of stakeholders because they pay certain fees. They're in the area regularly. They trot their horses, or I'm not a horse person, but they, you know, they take their horses out for a ride regularly. So they, in Chatsworth, consider them a stakeholder, right? And so, you know, this gives some flexibility as long as a neighborhood council can establish that they're providing some sort of community benefit that it goes beyond a private interest. I mean, you know, these horse stabling.
No, I understand that. Yeah. No, I appreciate that example. And the only other question I have was that only because I find that sometimes when people read through things, if they see an example, they can tend to get stuck on an example.
Sure, yeah.
But I appreciate that yeah. there is something that you can look at and say, yes, this is an example of something, and then it goes on to be a little more general definitions where you can find your nonprofit or whatever.
We realized, addressing issues with many neighborhoods, that right. there are things that we could never, the list could be ad infinitum,
mm-hmm.
and by allowing a neighborhood council more autonomy to establish that themselves as a community would both give them flexibility but also create some guardrails of like, this is what you can't, like, you can't say cats can vote.
No. I'm just curious yeah. that with the Boys and Girls Club honorable yeah. organization, which is also a nonprofit, would it
right.
benefit to say youth programs or something?
I actually don't know. I was looking at that too, and I was kind of like, yeah, especially since it's capitalized. I don't think Chambers of Commerce needs to be capitalized either, but yeah, it is sort of very specific, right? Because Boys and Girls Club is
it's a national organization.
Right. So maybe it's better. I agree with you. It does seem odd to like name sort of a national organization rather than a more general youth program.
Because
there's lots of youth programs. Yeah. No,
programs or after school for what the goal was in the language.
I'm open to making it a more generalized term than, yeah, because that to me connotes an actual like named organization. So why aren't we naming, United Way or the Y? Right. I mean the Y.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So. What we would say is youth program, limited youth programming, or?
I don't think, Commissioner Atkinson, I just don't see how you can add any more to it, because I was sitting here and thinking about my area and extra groups that we didn't mention. In South LA, there's a couple of museums, the African American Museum of History and Culture, which offers programs to the community and is right in the middle of the city where they might be interested in what's going on around their universe, around the museum. And there's certain types of art centers that offer some kind of, classes that are beneficial to, minority children or something like that. So it's kind of hard to cover every topic. That's why it was good that you said, that it's up to the neighborhood councils to expand the definition by amending their bylaws. I just don't think you can put any more examples in there that are there now. I think we ought to be able to get the gist of what.
No, my question had to do with naming one particular national organization and wondering if we might better serve.
Well, you can say that. You can even say that too. Because that was the other thing. I can in South LA, we have a couple of national organizations that, on a local level, are very active. So you'd want to include them.
Making the opposite point that we should be very general. That we should consider being general in that terminology instead.
And yeah. Well, I don't think we should be that general. I think if it's a national organization, I think they should have a local presence.
No, I think we're talking about two different things. Okay. What I'm saying is... I'm thinking about the tax code, actually, because like a chamber of commerce typically is actually a for-profit entity, but has sort of a specification of the tax code because it has a public benefit, right? It's a membership organization. Houses of worship or other faith-based organizations have a specific sort of entity within the tax code because, there's the separation of church and state. Educational institutions do as well, nonprofit organizations, which would include museums, would include... arts programs. So the question is like a youth, an after-school program,
right.
would we want to specifically name that, or would that be covered under, because that's what Boys and Girls Clubs are. They're an after-school program.
Okay.
Right? So would that be covered under a nonprofit organization or community-based organization, or do we have to actually say an after-school program, like, you know? Because there are some run by the city.
Community. Yes.
There are some, like, Summer Night Lights is run by the city, right. And I think they contract with a nonprofit, so...
Yeah. Commissioner Schaefer?
Sure.
This is just by way of example. It's all it is.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that a national organization was named does not exclude other youth organizations, doesn't exclude
right.
perhaps the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts.
Right, sure.
If they happen to have an office right there, yeah. that kind of thing. We got into this argument with the Neighborhood Council Review Commission, and that's where this whole thing started. Because
okay.
then the list becomes finite, or it can't be infinite. So, but it's just by way of example. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And Boys and Girls Clubs are youth organizations, so other youth organizations would be within that example.
So I get.
Well, I'm sorry. I beg to differ with you because Boys and Girls Club is a distinct entity.
Then
it's not well, as the YMCA is, or the Police Activities League, or a number of distinct
okay.
youth organizations.
May I make a
so
suggestion?
If there is going to be naming of one organization,
okay. May I make a suggestion?
Why have one organization named? Chambers okay. of Commerce.
Strike it.
I understand.
That's easy.
So let's.
Okay, but
let's,
I have several boys and girls. I mean, several organizations in my community that are called Boys and Girls Clubs.
Yeah, let's just strike it.
Well, we can strike it. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to say is that a Boys and Girls Club or the Y or
then stay a
could,
Boys
could,
and Girls Club.
Yeah.
Without capitalizing, a Boys and Girls Club
right.
or a youth club.
Yes. Well, that's what we could say, is just a youth or after-school
no,
program.
Not really. Not if you're still limited to an organization that has a physical address that's been in existence for not less than 1 year.
Right. Sure.
So, but if you want, you can strike it. You can make it small, Boys and Girls Clubs. That way it's not a specific organization. Anything like that.
Right.
Or
to be,
programs.
Or to just be general, gender neutral also.
I mean, you want to
just... Your Reckon Park has...
My suggestion would be to strike it.
Programs on a regular basis
okay.
for you.
My suggestion would be just strike it.
Okay. Okay. So let's...
Okay. But we also, I mean, I really appreciate that number four gives the flexibility for the neighborhood council should they feel that there's a recreational activity or something else that is within their neighborhood council that they are able to include that. So there are many ways that the specifics can be included. I just find that when people see a specific name, they feel that one entity is being highlighted and everything else is subjugated and
right.
not necessarily recognized by the organization.
So I think, so we'll strike it and
may I also make the suggestion that Chambers of Commerce be with small?
Yes, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And that too, so yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, so do we have a?
Public comment.
Public comment.
May I make?
Public comment.
Public comment.
I forgot what it was.
You guys know I've been coming for the last, like,
yeah,
I don't know how many meetings.
So you're supposed to comment on the amendments.
Yeah, of course.
You commented already on the first part, so now your comment would be to the amendments that have been made.
Oh, well, my comment was to, because you guys are supposed, is number 1 through 4 also going to be included in the... submission? The last, Lippman, the last 4, 1 through 4.
Yeah, 1 through 4?
Yeah, that was my first question. Is that also going to be in the verbiage that's submitted to City Council?
No, I think that was his comments to the commission.
Oh, okay, so that's not going to be included verbatim into the submission.
Well, I mean, this could be written as a formal letter with this. I guess I call it not clarifying, but establishing language or explanatory language. I don't know. I didn't write it in that format. But we could either just communicate this is our recommendation for the definition, or we could communicate in a letter that basically, you know, says, "Dear City Council, the Charter of the City of Los Angeles." What we could do is say, you know, the commission recommends writing a letter that says, "Dear City Council, the Charter of the City of Los Angeles," and this whole thing would become a letter.
The motion is what we're recommending.
Right, but I'm just asking if 1 through 4 are going to be in the
1 through 4 is a just explanatory kind of explanation. It's not a motion. I'm assuming that we would still include it in our letter on the why we're doing what we're doing, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to.
It is much more general, but yeah, it was not part of the motion itself.
Yeah, but it's not part. It's not a motion.
Okay. The second question was. I myself have personally just commented a lot on language-specific services being included in one of the eligibilities to be a community interest stakeholder, and I don't see anything that would even open the doors for an interpretation of that in this verbiage. So, just wanted to bring that up to the commission and see what your thoughts were on that.
So the part that says, and are encouraged to expand the definition by amending their bylaws to include other defined groups or stakeholders that conform to the above definition doesn't leave open for further interpretation in your bylaws?
Doesn't seem so, no. It seems like the main thing is community organizations.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, it says defined groups of stakeholders.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's true.
That's absolutely correct.
Like,
apparently not. I understand. I think we all understand that.
What would be... I'm not understanding what would be an example of something along those lines.
That would be a group of or organization where people with a common language come together to do certain activities, which means that would include Korean, Farsi, and all of the other 270 languages in the city of Los Angeles, if they so desired.
Right.
That becomes the problem. Because it's much too broad, because it says somebody from Seattle, Washington could be a member of your neighborhood council. You could define them as such. The city attorney has stated in other times that the interest of the community interest, well, this is when they were talking about the, I'll say this to the commission. When they were talking about the so-called factual basis, which was the predecessor of the community interest, it was opined by the city attorney that the interest of the so-called stakeholder, that new stakeholder, should not be so slight as to dilute interest of the named stakeholders within the charter, and should at least be somewhat equivalent to it, which means that these are people who are part of something within the neighborhood on a consistent basis and such as that.
Right. That was actually, I mean, this is something that we talked at length about and actually changed my opinion on this significantly, because that opinion was based in some legal precedent. With the understanding that, you know, we have in the charter three defined types of stakeholder, lives, works, and owns real property, and then this additional one, and that should not dilute from those who live, work, or own real property, that there should be some equivalency, and there is, you know, if we don't provide some sort of guardrails of like, okay, this tips over the edge whereby anybody could claim a stake, then we dilute the stake of the others, right? Is what we discussed.
Well, if I may, just for a second, that's where the substantial, and I know we were trying to go away from the substantial ongoing, but that's where the ongoing comes into play. Like, if you can define something or an activity that's ongoing, like you know, Commissioner Schaefer said, what if he lives in Seattle, Washington? Can he be a stakeholder? No, because there's no ongoing participation, right?
No, he could come down here once a week and come to one of your meetings, stay for 2 hours and
if
leave.
If you consider that ongoing, you know.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you, okay? I'm not supposed to do that.
Isn't that why you're here?
No, I'm not supposed to do that under the Browning.
I'm just trying to make a point or reinforce a point that I've been trying to make for the last 2 months. You know, and if you don't want to hear it, that's fine.
I've heard it, but we have heard it, and that is not included within these definitions.
Just point, public comment has concluded.
Okay, that's fine.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm the one that's giving public comment. I think you guys should hear it because I've been here for 8 consecutive meetings.
No disrespect meant, but yes, we have heard what you've said. Okay? We may not agree with that. Okay, what are we doing with this motion?
Oh, I think we're voting on it, right?
Okay. Are we gonna vote on?
I'll offer the second one after this one.
So which one are we doing first? We're doing the longer one first.
Yes.
Okay. So the motion before us is the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners recommends to the City Council and Mayor that the city take a different approach to the issue of community interest stakeholder by amending the administrative code. Okay.
And then it was as he agreed to amend it to a small b, a small g, and a small c in boys and girls clubs.
Yeah, with as amended.
And
as
small
amended,
c's in chamber and commerce, yeah.
Yeah, as amended to the type of organizations that are included. As amended. Okay. It's been moved. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposition? Nope. Okay, so that motion passed.
Oh yes, I'm in favor. Yes,
I am. I'm. If, may I?
Now we're back to the first one, which we also are going to send. Let the City Council decide.
May I make a motion?
You may make a motion.
In response to the request from the City Council, I would make the following motion. That the types and duration of contacts necessary to constitute substantial and ongoing participation in for a community interest stakeholder shall be defined as follows. A community interest stakeholder is a person who, not less than 30 days prior to the neighborhood council election or selection, is a member of or associated with a community-based organization that has a physical address within the neighborhood council boundaries where participants meet and or the organization carries on its activities. The organization must have been in existence within the neighborhood council boundaries for not less than 1 year prior to the neighborhood council election or selection and must be one that confers some benefit on the community, which may include but is not limited to educational institutions, faith-based institutions, community organizations, and other nonprofit organizations. Membership in, association with, participation in, or patronization of organizations such as, but not limited to, those that deal in sales to the public or personal service organizations or businesses are not the type of contacts that would establish substantial and ongoing participation.
All right. That's the motion. Is there a second? For this one?
Debbie, will you be second?
It's been moved by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by Commissioner Wiebe. Any further discussion on this one?
No.
I just want to. I'm struggling because I think I don't have a problem with the definition or this clarification. I just have a problem with substantial and ongoing. I think it's so bad. So I want to vote against this because I have a philosophical disagreement with substantial and ongoing, which has nothing to do with the way that you've written it. So I don't think it'll materially impact the vote on this, I don't think, but I just...
Except, yeah. I don't. You can. Like I say, the only reason I put that in there was because I was responding to the city council.
I understand that. I just am registering my sense that I think we just need to get rid of it, but okay. I don't know.
Are we ready for a question? Maybe
we'll do a vote
by each person.
Okay.
We'll call a roll, in other words.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lippman?
Call me last.
What?
Commissioner Schaefer?
Yes.
Commissioner Derek Kittles, absent. Commissioner Webby?
Yes.
Commissioner Regalado?
Yes.
Commissioner Avakian Kurogian? Absent. Commissioner Lippman?
Motion passes.
Yeah, I'll abstain.
So both, okay. So if the motion passes, so both will be both will be submitted to the city council. I have a little remark. I know that sometimes we disagree with public comment, and sometimes we strongly disagree. But I don't know. I felt, Lynn, that we were missing some respect on both sides, and he left before I would have commented that there's enough categories that all the people he wants to vote. There's enough categories for them to deal with.
Yeah, and that is why.
And you can disagree and say, okay, you know, we just fail to disagree, but we got to a point of disrespect, and I don't think it was really necessary.
That is why I amended and said that I respectfully had to. I realized I was getting a little testy.
Okay. All right. Anyway, just wanted to comment on that. All right. So we are at the end of our... wait a minute.
Commissioners?
I guess I better make it official. Wait a minute. Hold on just a sec.
Brief comments?
A brief, yes. We have, commission business. Any comments from any of the members of the commission?
On our own activities, I will say that I was at the second Civic U Resilient, the one for the resiliency representatives from neighborhood councils, and I got some good information, including the fact that the city of Los Angeles has a department that has a portion of its IT department specifically dedicated to cybersecurity and ensuring that the city council, the city's websites, et cetera, are not successfully attacked.
All right.
Great. Well, Civic U is good.
Yeah, there you go. I wanted to mention that I took my class of MBA students to a neighborhood council meeting to see democracy in action.
Oh, whoopee.
And we also got to sit and talk with City Controller Ron Galperin, who was also at the meeting. So,
great. Which neighborhood council?
Bel Air Beverly Crest.
Hmm?
Bel Air Beverly Crest, which happens to meet in the same building at the same night as the class that I teach.
Oh, okay, very
so,
good.
Yeah. I would also mention that I will not be in town on December 17th, so I don't know if we will have. I don't know what others' vacation plans are, but
when is it?
December 17th.
December warning.
And I assume that our regular, because January 2nd is actually a Wednesday, but I assume. Well, actually, that's wrong. January 2nd, it should be 2019 on the agenda, and that is a Wednesday, and I assume we made that decision as part of the rules because we knew that January 1st was a holiday.
We have not as yet passed the new meeting.
Don't we need to set a new, so we need that on the next agenda?
We're going to need that at next month, yeah.
December 4th.
Yeah. But it seems that we had scheduled a January 2nd, 2019 meeting. Lillian, is that correct or?
No, that's not correct, sorry. No.
Okay, so we need to strike that
January 2nd.
And establish a calendar for 2019, and we also need to be cognizant that I, for one, won't be there on the 17th.
So we're going to have to set a special meeting.
December 17th.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So should we have the new calendar for the next meeting?
We should have.
November 7th? No?
At the very latest, you should have it, hopefully, by the 4th of December.
Yes, okay. At the very latest.
We'll have it for the summer meeting.
Or have it for the 4th of December. How's that?
Okay.
Okay.
I accept anything else? Accept a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All right. It's been moved. Thank you, everybody.